Howard from the Perdomo Cigar Studios on the Red Stage in Indian Trail, North Carolina, and broadcasting from the HF Barcelona Studios in Euless, Texas. Welcome to Primetime Special Edition 84. Tonight, it's a conceptual show as we talk Sakaology and go through the STFU sampler pack. And as always, Primetime Special Edition is sponsored by Perdomo Cigars, awarded Nicaraguan Cigar of the Year in 2014 by Cigar Journal. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary brand has consistently earned the highest scores in the industry and is a top seller in humidors around the world. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary blend requires tobaccos that have been carefully hand-selected and are well-aged for a minimum of 8 years. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary is offered in three distinct wrappers: a smooth, creamy Ecuadorian Connecticut, a rich, earthy Cuban seed Nicaraguan sun-grown, and a dark, oily Cuban seed Nicaraguan Maduro. Combining these beautifully bourbon barrel-aged wrappers with thick, high-priming binder and filler tobaccos gives each blend a balanced complexity with layers of rich flavors and smooth, elegant aromas. Perdomo Cigars is a family-owned and operated company headquartered in Miami, Florida, with manufacturing and agricultural facilities in Esteli, Nicaragua. Perdomo's highly acclaimed cigar brands include the Perdomo Estate Selección Vintage, the Perdomo Double Aged 12-Year Vintage, Perdomo 20th Anniversary, Perdomo Reserve 10th Anniversary, the Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Aged, Perdomo Lot 23, and many more. For great tasting notes and pairing information, check out the new Perdomo website at www.perdomocigars.com. And by Aganorsa Leaf. Great leaf makes great cigars. Aganorsa Leaf stands out because of the distinctive flavor of our Corojo 99 and Criollo 98 seeds cultivated by Cuban agronomists on the best lands of Jalapa and Esteli, Nicaragua. When you smoke one of our JFR Lunatic, Guardian and Farm, or Casa Fernandez cigars, you will experience the unique taste and aroma that makes Aganorsa Leaf special. Smoke one today and enjoy the signature flavor of Aganorsa Leaf. And finally, by Drew Estate. Check out and download the Drew Diplomat app for your mobile device. Keep up with everything going on Drew Estate. Experience the subculture that is the rebirth of cigars. It's available on iTunes or Google Play. For more information, check out www.drewdiplomat.com. And as always, all the live streaming for the Primetime Network of shows is sponsored exclusively by Drew Estate, as well as the California studios for the Primetime show. Welcome, everybody. This is Primetime Special Edition number 84. Today is Tuesday, September 15th. This is Will Cooper. I am in the Palatial Perdomo Cigar Studios on the Red Stage here in Indian Trail, North Carolina. I'm joined cross-country by my friend and colleague, the one and only Mr. Bear Duplessis.
Good evening, Coop. I am so excited to be joining you this evening. I wanted to ask you a question. So there's been a topic of discussion in the Bear household.
Okay.
That is, you know, rife with the season. Okay. We're a little bit more than 30 days away, but I'm so excited. I'm more excited to talk about this holiday than upcoming holidays, because I believe we can get into that discussion later, but I'm definitely a celebrate Christmas after Thanksgiving kind of guy. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, next month is going to be Halloween. So young kids, a wife who loves, you know, playing dress up and stuff like that. So, you know, never got that inner kid out of her. So what was the last thing that you remember dressing up for Halloween as? What was the last costume you ever did? I'm interested to hear this.
Howard Stern.
You're fucking kidding me.
No, not kidding you.
Okay.
We went to a Halloween wedding. This was in 2005. I am not a costume guy. Okay. Now, I tried to do something once on Stogie Geeks. I'm not even going to count that as a costume. So we'll just take that one out. But no, this one, I had a Howard Stern. I had the leather jacket. I had the t-shirt, the white t-shirt. I had the Howard hair, right? You know, the long, because Howard's hair was longer, and the sunglasses, the dark Coke bottle sunglasses.
Nice.
So I was Howard Stern, and I'm not saying I'm a Howard Stern fan or anything. It just, it kind of ended up like turning into Howard Stern.
Well, yeah, the last thing I remember dressing up as, I've dressed up as a Boston Red Sox baseball player several times.
Right.
I've done Sherlock Holmes. That was probably my favorite and most recent. Got to smoke a pipe all night long, so.
That's cool, you don't hear of a Sherlock Holmes costume, and you would think that's like an obvious one, right?
Right.
That's actually a pretty good costume then.
Yeah, I got the deerskin hat and everything with the ear flaps and stuff. I still have it. Maybe I'll wear it for Halloween this year or something. But it's just been something that's been my my kids and well, my oldest and my wife have been talking about. And so I'm just like, and they, my wife's a good sport. She knows that I'm not really a costume guy. And so she always just kind of makes my, she makes my outfit as easy as possible. AKA I'm not really playing dress up. I'm just adding like a clothing item or two and that's it. So,
I mean, you're bare. You're it's like, true. You have a, well,
that's,
it's not hard.
that's the easy thing this year. My son wants to go, wants to do Halloween as night animals from the forest. So he wants me to be the bear. He said that. He's like, I want to be the bear. He wants Jacob, our youngest, to be a skunk because he stinks. Yeah. And he's trying to decide what he wants to be. But he's thinking about, he's wanting to be an opossum. Or something, but yeah, or an owl. That's the last one. Yeah, he wants to be an owl. So,
kids. You know, yeah, no, exactly. So, you know how we used to do Halloween costumes like in the mid-70s?
No, I wasn't alive, but okay.
No, well, okay. This is the honest truth here. So, you would go to your local drugstore. This is before they were even chain drugstores, and they would get these kits in. Like they were boxes. I don't want to say they were like wide shoe boxes. And in there would be your complete Halloween kit. So you got this like plastic mask with like a strong rubber band that went around you. And then you have this plastic thing that you'd put over you, right? And you could choose, most of the choices were superheroes or monsters.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course.
So you'd alternate in between that. And if you had like the crafty mom, then you had the custom Halloween suit and you were like one of the really cool kids if you had the crafty mom. But this was like feminism, like this was the feminist age, right?
Yeah.
So there weren't a lot of crafty moms. It wasn't cool to be like a crafty mom in the 70s. This was kind of like that was Halloween. By the time we had kids, those costumes were deemed unsafe, fire hazard.
Yeah, right.
Suffocating and feminism took on a whole different meaning. I'll just say that, you know, I'm not saying people started like embracing, like women started embracing feminism, like for what it was, I guess. I don't know. They still were feminists, but they were doing like the crafty mom things, I guess is the easiest way to put it.
Yeah. My wife puts together some wicked costumes, man. Yeah. I'm not going to lie for the boys and stuff. And my mother was never crafty, but she always, I mean, she brought the A+ game.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, we're seeing people. Joe D says his werewolf costume split, his pants split.
Yeah,
yeah, the werewolf was like one of those. Like you had the werewolf one. Yeah.
Oh man, that's funny. Sorry,
and
Joe.
Like, and they were like $10. That's what they were. They were $10, and they were disposable. You couldn't reuse them like after Halloween or anything like that either.
Oh yeah, they still make cheap ass costumes today. They're just like four times that cost.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, now by the time Halloween comes, the youngest Cooper will be 20 years old. So there's like really, you know, it's like, this is where.
So you're going to have to buy your own Halloween candy instead of stealing it from your kids.
Yeah. I mean, we do it because we give out to the kids. I mean, what's kind of become interesting. This is going to sound, I'm going to really get into trouble here for saying it. So it's actually become fun to give out candy because it's actually sometimes more because the moms now dress up for Halloween. And you always want to find out who the best costume of the moms are. I mean, the moms never dressed up for Halloween when I was younger. The moms dress up for Halloween. I mean, I'm not saying I'm trying to find the hottest costume. I try to. It's interesting to see what some of the grown-ups will do. Okay. Do I look? Yes. But I'm not lying. But I'm like,
you're like Nesta Miranda. I do Halloween for the chicks.
A quote from Nesta Miranda. That's right.
I did. I got into cigars for the women.
Why'd you get it?
Coop does Halloween for the chicks. There we go.
Kids take it. Go, mom. How you doing? But so the other thing. No, to be fair, the other thing is that's happened is when you're outside smoking cigars, I tend to give out probably a dozen or so cigars to dads who come around.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
What I always do is I put the cigar when the kids come, the cigar is put to the side. So it's not getting on them. But, you know, I have some cigars there and almost inevitably someone says something. I said, you want one? Yeah, I'd love one. Thanks. And, you know, so, yeah, that's what I do.
Nice.
So that's the other side of the coin. I haven't had a mom ask me for a cigar yet, but they're more than welcome to have one. But I haven't had that happen.
Make sure you offer.
I should. Oh boy, oh boy.
So. Or make it a contest. Be like, hey, the mom who has the best costume gets the cigar at the end of the night.
Yeah, I mean, the best was like my son was home once, right? And we were out, and like there's like two teenage girls dressed like little Bo Peep, and he's giving them candy. They're like 16 years old, and he's clearly having a conversation with them, right? And I pull into the driveway when this is all happening with my wife, and my wife's like, "Who's he talking?" I'm like, let him do what he's doing.
Nice. All right.
Oh boy, I just offended half the audience tonight.
I was not expecting Howard Stern, so that was that. I'm glad I asked the question.
The reason is it evolved into that is what happened. Let me just kind of finish that part up. So it was supposed, I was like gonna be like a hooded, like a Fonzie type of character, whatever, but it didn't work unless I had the wig. And then the wig and combined with the sunglasses, it was like Howard Stern giveaway.
Nice.
And the funny thing is at the wedding, people said like Howard, they would call me Howard, and I didn't even have to explain the costume. Yeah, so
Dan Thompson's got a great idea. Cigar Coop fans should nominate and vote on the Coop costume. On Coop's costume, we could do a Halloween episode. I mean,
could. It's hard. I know when I did the show with Paul Ossidorian, and that's his, Paul Ossidorian was like crazy about Halloween, right? When I work with him, but he would not do the show on Halloween because that was his favorite holiday. He just really got into it. And if you go back to some of the old Stogie Geeks episodes, he's got some crazy costumes he's worn.
Jeez.
Yeah. So yeah, going back into that. We could always do a Halloween episode. You know, the other thing, just before we get into this, is a couple of times I've been gone for Halloween because of Lizonapalooza start.
That's right.
Yeah. So so obviously there's nothing this year, but a couple of years ago, I remember it was Halloween. And I got into Florida on Halloween, so I remember that distinctly. All right, so now that we've talked about hot moms and cigars at my house, okay, I didn't expect that intro, that organic.
It was just occurred to me. Yeah, it occurred to me. I was like,
I took it downhill, not you.
I couldn't see you dressing up. I thought you and I were kind of like minded that way, but I
wanted. Like I said, I had to go back really 15 years to really say I did it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think I've dressed up. I couldn't tell you the time before that what I was. That I couldn't tell you. So except for someone who was like costume kits that we bought. All right. So what are we going to talk about tonight, right? Is soccer still on the air? Do we know?
I don't know.
Okay. So
I'm a professional, Coop. I'm focused on the show and talking about hot moms and cigars at your house.
Exactly. You can't get that. You can't get that on the Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust page. Okay. You know, talking about hot moms and cigars. All right. All right. So tonight what we're going to do is when Steve Soccer announced this, STFU sampler, okay, which we'll cover the background. I think most people know the background. We'll cover it in a minute. I kind of went to Bear and said, hey, why don't we get a couple of these and actually do it on the air? I've seen some other people in the media do it, but I don't know if anyone's done it live on the air. I think we're the first ones to do it live. I think everyone else recorded theirs. There's some out there. And lo and behold, I find out today – that Steve Soccer is, I found out like literally before the show that Steve Soccer is doing a live stream on his page. And actually, Aaron messages me because Soccer's doing the reveal tonight. And I'm like, no, Soccer's not doing the reveal tonight. It's October 1st. He delayed it, right? I knew that because I remember this was a big deal. Well, he delayed it, but he decided to still go on the live stream tonight and talk about whatever. So, I want to bust on Steve at this, but I actually believe he did not know we were on the air because I don't think he would have did it. So that's not like him. He sponsors our shows. He sponsors Cigar Coop, so I can.
Sure.
But no, so I don't think it's that. But nonetheless, I busted his balls on there anyway, saying, hey, thank you for doing your show up against ours. But that is what it is. So what is this STFU thing? The origins of this thing go back. And I think this all started on Cigar Authority, to be honest with you. At least it was made public on Cigar Authority, where our friend, our good friend John Carney, was a guest on there. And I don't know how they got on it, right? Because I don't think it was a planned part of the show. But somehow Carney got on the show and said, Sobra Mesa Brulee has a sweetened tip. I'm telling you it has a sweet. He's telling everyone it has a sweetened tip. Do you remember, I think I smoked the Brulee on one of our special editions?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything with a sweetened tip. I'm being completely transparent. I didn't notice, but I wasn't looking for it. And it started this whole controversy where the question is, was the Brulee, did it have a sweetened cap? And what we mean by sweet cap is there's a little sugar mixed in it. And they tend to use these for cigars that are, for novices a lot of times. And they sweeten sometimes some of the tips on some of the Drew Estate non-traditional.
Yeah, like, your Baccarats, there's, acid right. sweetens the tips. The Asylum Insidious sweetens their tip of their cigar. I mean, there's a number of very popular and good cigars that sweeten the cap. And
yep.
and this was kind of the, honestly, I would, until the big four dropped out of the PCA, I would say that this was probably the biggest story in our world, man. I mean, it was just on fire. CigarCon getting canceled. Never mind. CigarCon getting canceled.
Well, CigarCon, yeah, that was the other thing, where it took down the Cigar Coop website, right? But yeah, this started like literally becoming a, it took on a life of its own. Now, Sokka didn't like get up there and like say, get pissed it's Carney or anything. He said, no, they're not sweetened, right? I went down to Florida about a year ago in November when I was down at Fulgazzone Palooza. I picked up some Brulees and I was convinced they were not sweetened. And I guess what started to happen is some folks said some were sweetened or some were not, or some were perceiving it as sweetened and some were not. But the controversy, it didn't die completely. The question was raised out there. It had to be Sokka had to be sitting there saying, damn, this is good for Brulee, because you know what? What's the best way? Curious. I don't think it hurt Brulee sales. If anything, I think it helped Brulee sales because, there's a curiosity factor. Is this thing sweetened or not? Right. So he's probably reveling in this to begin with. Right. But he'll stick to his guns and say it's not sweetened. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, then fast forward to a couple of months ago. I want to say it's like June, July timeframe. And he decides to kind of turn this into a, a project. He puts this project together, and this is what it is. It's the STFU sampler. And I'll read what this is in Sokka's own.
Oh, can I read it, please?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Go ahead.
STFU. Sokka's Taste for Yourself sampler. Steve, you're not fooling anyone. This one really stands for shut the fuck up.
Fuck up. Okay? Come on, Steve. Yeah.
Come on. Just call us. Call a spade a spade, man.
Let's give him credit because he actually re-acronymed that. He came up with a re-acronym, I think. But
yeah, no joke. Yeah. So you can make it like a little bit more PG-13.
Yeah.
So he's like, in quotations, I am tired of telling people that Sobra Mesa Brulee is not sweet tipped. Many agree, but others do not believe me. So how do I prove the negative? Simple. I let you taste, compare, contrast, and decide for yourself. It included our five identical cigars of the Brulee blend, with the only difference being that there are three versions included. Unadulterated, aka normal Brulee, sweet tipped, and double sweet tipped. But here's the catch. I'm not going to tell you which is which until September 15th, which it's now been moved. Today is September 15th. We're going to tell you. He was advertising for us, Coop. Look at this.
Yeah.
Via Facebook Live on the Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust page. So smoke them, debate about them, and decide for yourself, Steve Sokka. So these are 6x52 Puros, handmade in Nicaragua.
So I want to get some misreporting out of the way on this sampler that I saw. For folks who don't know, the blend on the right is the triple exclamation point. It's not the double single exclamation point as I've been doing it. So I've been misreporting this, as well as some other people have. It's a triple exclamation point.
Shame on you.
I mean, so I want to apologize to everyone out there right now. Hello, Steve. How you doing?
Yes.
Hey, Jeff. Attention, Kmart shoppers. So, yeah, this is so. And what I love about what Sokka did with this, right, is he wants to make fucking money off this thing, right? He wants it. So he's making money off this thing. Look, I don't begrudge the guy.
And you got our money.
but when we get into the Soccerology piece. So as we smoke through these, we're going to talk about Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust tonight. But, you know, the typical, if you want to look at one of the principles or the foundations of Soccerology, yeah, I don't know who's going to buy these packs. Who's going to buy these? Yeah, this is the dumbest idea I had. Yeah.
Snicker.
Yeah, he knows exactly.
He knows exactly what he's doing, man. Like, that's what I always tell people.
And the brilliant thing is he's selling 5 cigars at one time. I mean, honestly, that's genius marketing because no retailer in their right mind would break this up. I mean, because if you're breaking this up, you're not a good retailer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's great about it is he's selling you 5 cigars, but he's telling you that only 3 of them, there's only 3 differences.
Yeah.
So, talk about taking my money and just messing with you the whole time too, because I mean, are there two double sweet tips? You know, what's in here, you know, and that's what we're going to find out tonight. I'm really excited about this. When you approached me about this, I'm all about it, man. I've always maintained that I have had, honest to God, when I say this, Steve, if you're listening, or for anyone else there who's a friend of Brulé, I'm not dissing Brulé, but what I will say is that in my experience with the quote unquote sweetness of Brulé is I've actually had some inconsistency from Vitola to Vitola. Some have a little bit more sweetness than the others. I certainly feel like in a lot of cases, it feels like there's something added to it. It doesn't taste like any other cigar, but you know, to Steve's point, what he's argued before is that's why he named it Brulé. And that's what, you know, that's why he blended it that way. So, you know, I'm excited about this exercise. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I do too. I mean, there's been a lot of theories out there of why there has been this discrepancy, if you want to call it. And you know, I think one theory is that there was a batch that was accidentally sweetened. There's another thing saying it's going back to the tobacco, where the way it's whatever wrapper he was using is and how it's fermented is more naturally sweet. I'm not going to try to speculate on that. I'll take Steve at his word saying that they weren't sweetened. What the intent is, this was not meant to be a sweetened brand. So
I can tell you one thing for sure. Out of all the Brulés that I've smoked, the one that had absolutely no trace of sweetness and it was still damn good was the Brulé that I smoked in the Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust booth at IPCPR 2019. There was no, there absolutely not. And so when people start talking about this, I was like, what are you talking about?
Well, and that was my reaction because I smoked the Brulé when we did the post game show from like when we did the special edition following the trade show, I smoked the Brulé that night. I didn't mention anything about sweetened tip at all during that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to say the same thing. This didn't even become an issue till I heard Carney raise the issue a few months later.
Yeah. I mean, I heard it. I mean, probably the most most vehemently made argument that I heard. I mean, people like get on a soapbox and was like, you know how he is anyway. He's just naturally gregarious anyway, but Seth Geis on one of the media panel shows when he was just insisting, he's like, it's just sweet tip. Just say it. You know, like that was the most passionate argument, I guess, that I've heard heard for the sweetened cap was that he was absolutely convinced that it was, and probably still is. I mean, I don't want to speak for him. He may have changed his mind or not, but I'd love for Seth to smoke this and get his thoughts on that.
Yeah, I would too. I want to mention a couple of comments here. Randy says that Steve didn't know we were revealing the STFU tonight, and he's done it in 5 minutes. And he's telling everyone to buzz over here, so thanks. I actually believe that. No, we were busting a sock. I totally believe that. That's not like Steve, so there's no problem with that. I just wanted to bust a little bit on that. The other thing is, this was a great comment, and I really want to mention, this is a comment from Ben Roland. How many people would be buying this pack would actually buy a sweet tip cigar otherwise? That's a great freaking question. That's just absolutely a great question. Like, would people, like, I guarantee the majority of the people who are doing this are not sweet tip, not people who smoke sweet tip cigars.
Yeah, Exhibit A and Exhibit B, sitting right.
Now I have reviewed sweet tips. So I've reviewed the Tadascans and the Asylum Insidiouses, you know, so I have, but in general, if I'm going into a store, they're not the cigars I'm reaching to smoke in the lounge. I mean, maybe Drew Estate, you know, the non-traditional stuff, but that's pretty much it.
Oh man. Well, are we going to crack these? What are we doing?
All right, so let's crack them open. Now, these I have not, just you know, these are, we have not smoked these before.
Mine's still in the cellophane, so
they're still in the cellophane. So let's crack these open and see what we have. This is always the fun part. Actually, this is a pretty easy one to open. It's not one. Have you gotten some of these where it's like really painful to open?
Yeah, most cigar packs are painful to open.
I got this one right open. So good job, Steve. I mean, for making this easy to open.
I love the sound effects we're going to have in the background with the crinkling of cellophane. It's great.
And
great.
I want
to. It's great audio for the podcast.
Okay. I want to thank Steve, first of all, for not putting this in a dark paper Mazo.
A plus.
No, seriously, because I like the fact that we can look at the cigars. I don't. That my big complaint about those Mazos is you can't look at those cigars, and at least I have a way to inspect them from the outside. So. Not that I had a choice in the pack. I got these from Abe, but from Smoke In. But yeah. So now the big question we have, okay?
Man, that's some quality cardboard, man.
That's some quality cardboard. I was like thinking, I mean, this is not like this is
thick.
This is Steve Saka. I mean, the premium Vito. Yes, the guy's a genius at marketing. You got to say that. Yeah, this is kind of like something. You know what? I can hang it up after. It's actually kind of
Yeah, it's like a wanted poster from the Old West, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like a wanted poster. It's got. If you're really a soccer fan, you got his autograph there. How about that? All right. So we got these. I agree. These are cracked open. Now the next question is, are we going to smoke these in STFU order, or are we going to go at random? How are we going to do this?
I was going to suggest doing it backwards.
Let's do it backwards. I like that because everyone's going to start with the S. Now. So we're going to start with the Sober Mesa Brulee !! blend in the Toro size.
Slammer, slammer, slammer.
Yep. I'm going to take it out of cello. And so what we're going to do, just so folks know, is we're as much as Bear, we can't smoke five cigars tonight, right? We're going to smoke. We're going to have to do five pieces of our style, unfortunately.
Yeah, or I was going to say Cigar Aficionado style, smoke a quarter inch.
Yeah, but what we'll do is we will talk about initial impressions of what we're smoking. And then we'll go into some of the Sakaology stuff behind the scenes. And then at a midway point, we have a one must go, which I can't wait to do tonight.
Did you see I added a bonus one in there?
No, I didn't, actually. So let me go look. It's cool. We could do a bonus one. Oh God! Okay, that's it. Now I'm.
I mean, if we're getting in trouble, let's get in trouble, man. Come on.
Okay, everyone knows which one I'm gonna pick, so
I know.
So with that one, but okay, so we got that. All right. So, impression. So how do we want? Do you actually want to cut these and?
I cut the cap. I'm sorry. I tasted it with the cap on there first.
Okay.
And now I got it without.
Okay. So let's go. I'm going to do mine too.
Okay.
This is the Sober Mesa Brulee.
Triple hammer.
STFU triple hammer. Not single hammer.
Yeah. Mm-mm. 3 exclamation points.
You know, I got to say something about these cigars. You know, one thing I'm really always impressed with the Brulee. It is a beautiful wrapper he's got. And these are not any if some folks mean these are not seconds by any means. I mean, I'm looking at the wrapper of this one. It's beautiful. It's as pristine as a regular Sober Mesa Brulee. So I that's another good job he did on that.
Steve's joining us, by the way.
Now we're in trouble. Steve, we are not.
No, he's apologizing to us. This is comical, man.
No, Steve, there's no apology. We bought a bus balls a little, but we didn't think it was anything negative. Well, we're having fun at your expense. But we actually didn't mute it. Yeah.
All right. So tell you what I'm initially tasting on the. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I'm getting absolutely nothing.
No, this is,
there's no sweetness.
There's no sweetness on this at all. There's sweetness, but it's tobacco sweetness. There's no artificial sweetness on this one.
Definitely nothing added to it at all. So for those just tuning in, because apparently Steve and Lafferty are bringing over like a whole like platoon of people.
Now we're really going to get in trouble when we do that one. Let's go. We're calling this Soccerology too. Yeah, did Steve hear overall comments about, because this was genius marketing. We were saying this.
Absolutely, man. Getting people to buy 5 cigars at one time.
But yeah, this is classic Brulee. This is classic Silver Mesa Brulee.
See, well, now because Cie Brulee, I think, has a little bit more sweetness. But I mean, if we're going on what Steve's telling us that the Brulee is in no way, shape, or form sweetened, then I guess I would have to put that in this camp so far, because there's nothing added to it at all. It's got some sweetness, like you said, some real nice creaminess.
This is how, when I talked about when I smoked that, the times I smoked Brulee, and I'm going to be honest, I have not gotten that sweet tip cap effect. This is how I remember smoking Silver Mesa Brulee. This is exactly how it would come to mind. This is what I expect.
So when I had Steve on for an interview a few weeks ago on my show, I smoked the Sin Compromiso number 6, the exclusivo for the exclusive for Corona. Mm-hmm. The number, the 60. And then I followed it up with the Brulee, actually. And I just remember the Brulee being a little bit sweeter than what I'm smoking right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's maybe I can even make that argument. Yeah. Now, one of my gripes, I guess, by the way, thanks for the audience. We have our audience really just spiked. So actually, it's probably helped us. But, the one thing I watched my chat.
No, Steve said he actually screwed up. He said he could have sold 6 cigars if he had gone Spanish and put upside down points on the front end.
You could have sold a 10-pack, a box of these things. I mean, we were just saying, actually, and again, for folks, it was absolutely, he's selling 5 cigars at once where you don't, because like I said, you have to be the worst retailer in the world if you have to break these apart. Honestly, this is what this is. It's meant to be.
Why would you, if especially, and I mean, I suppose you could after the reveal, but that's just not being fun at all.
Yeah.
Like total, what a buzzkill you are if you do that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm actually really enjoying the size of it too.
Mm-hmm. No, I like the Vitola.
Now we did not look. A lot of people were putting these in Facebook posts, and I had to literally look away. Like, because I didn't want to have any influence on how we were going to do this tonight. And we just said we cracked them open and we made the decision to go backwards with these.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a little about this whole Soccerology thing, right? And I go back to the original Silver Mesa brand back in 2015. And I was always, I really like Sober Mesa. There's like different sizes, and it seems like there's one for everybody. I've gravitated to that short Churchill, I think, has been my favorite size. The Cervantes is another size I've really enjoyed. But I remember when Steve came out with that line, he kind of completely shocked the hell out of me. And I think I've told this story to him, is he came out with it and it had the Habano wrapper on it, right? The Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. And why I was so caught off guard with that was because I was in one of those Drew Estate blending sessions a few years earlier. And I don't know how it happened. Steve was talking about, like, not the best wrapper to use, like, not a good wrapper to use, you know. Wasn't this in the wrapper by any means, but just kind of saying that may not be the wrapper you want to use, blah, blah, blah. I could tell this wrapper he liked better. And I remember when I talked to Steve about it, he talked, hey, but you know, when he paired that up with that Mexican binder, that's when that became something really special.
Yeah, I mean, I've told Steve this number of times. I've said it publicly, I think, on this show. I've definitely said it publicly on my show before. I think, well, I certainly enjoy his cigars, and the Sober Mesa is by far my favorite. It just is. I think he hit a home run right out of that gate. I think it's one of the most complex medium bodied cigars ever. It's a roller. I always, you know, when I'm in sales mode, I'm in the humidor and I'm talking to retailers, I'm like, it's a roller coaster through Flavor Town, man. It's got everything. It's got sweetness. It's got spice. It's got woodiness. It's got earthiness. It just takes you everywhere. And it's so good. It performs incredibly well. The construction's always impeccable.
The wrapper's beautiful.
It's a gorgeous looking cigar. It performs technically. No, my favorite, and Steve actually and I discussed this too, because we actually share the same affinity for the same Vitolas, and we dislike the same Vitola the least. So we're both I think him and I have the number one and number two flip, but the Elegante Entre Cedros, mine is the Cervantes Fino, then the Elegante Entre Cedros, and then the Short Churchill, and I think his top two are flip flopped, but we had basically the same top three. And then, but we both dislike, and when we say dislike, it's we like the least, is the Torpedo.
I like that Torpedo. I know he didn't like it. I like that Torpedo. I remember he had to change this. He changed the size of it along, like before it came out.
He changed the size.
I did like that Torpedo.
I mean, I liked it too. I just prefer other Vitolas. And what I was saying, to him, and because I had said it the previous take to Juan Martinez, I don't know what it is about, but the more and more I smoke and the older I get, it's not the body of cigars where I definitely used to gravitate more towards fuller bodied all the time. And I've really just learned to enjoy cigars for what they are. And so I definitely smoke a more broader range now, but it's not just the range. It's also, I've also become a real big Vitola snob. So like in a particular line, like Sober Mesa, for example, like I really love those three that I just mentioned. But I'm just like, I probably, if as long as those three are available, I'll probably never grab another Torpedo of the Sober Mesa. Not because it's a terrible cigar. It's not like a dog rock. It's not awful. It's just not my favorite. And if the Short Churchill or Cervantes Fino or Elegante en Cerdos is available, then I'm all in.
Probably my least favorite is the Robusto Largo. If I had to say, maybe it is one. And it's not that bad. It's the one I least gravitate to. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, that's probably maybe the one. But, you know, this whole idea that I call Sakaology, what I like what Steve has done, and we've seen him do this when he was at Drew Estate, right? So when he was at Drew Estate and Undercrown got created, what did he go and create right after that? He created Corona Viva, right? And what's Corona Viva? It's a tweaked, amped-up blend of the Undercrown. And we've seen him do this in the Dumbarton portfolio many times right now.
Right.
And in particular, that Cedros and that the Short Churchill are two that have a slightly amped up blend on that. The Poco Mas Intenso, which came out the year after that. And I thought, like I said, I thought he really nailed it with that Short Churchill.
The Short Churchill is terrific.
It really is.
I mean, I really enjoy the Cervantes Fino.
The Cervantes Fino, yep, is one I like.
And the Elegante Encedros. Like, it's funny, I enjoy the Cervantes Fino the most, but if I had my choice and all the Sober Mesas were laying out in front of me and like time, money, like nothing was a factor, I would still probably grab the Elegante Encedros because, again, if time's not a factor, and I don't get to smoke it too often.
Right.
It made my top 10 a couple years ago, because I basically bought out what we had. I mean, I just loved it. I smoked the heck out of it.
Yeah. Sober Mesa made was a 2015 top 25 in the Cervantes, and then the following year, the Short Churchill made the top 15. So, you know, and by the way, Steve Sakwa has been on the top 25, top the list of Coupe each of the last 5 years that he's been out. So he's had something make it, and some years have been higher than others. I know I may be to blame why he hasn't gotten on the half wheel number one, because a couple of those numbers are higher, you know. That's all he could probably shoot me. But no, when you get on a Coupe list 5 years in a row, that's pretty.
You're doing something right, man.
Like I said, I grew a lot of cigars, so you know, that's a pretty good honor there. And he's had great performances on the consensus as well. I mean, we could, you know, I think the key thing is people want to smoke his cigars, right? So that's the code, you know, make a consensus. You got to have someone want to smoke your cigars, and then ultimately the cigar's got to smoke good. And if the cigar doesn't smoke good, you know, then it's gonna suck and it's not gonna make it. So I think he has those two things going for him, which are very good.
Yeah. I mean, and this is what we talk about every year on the Cigar Aficionado Top 25 show that we do with Aaron, you know, it's a controversial list and you can either like it or you don't. But if you look at a majority of the cigars that make that top 25 list, regardless of rank, right, are cigars that perform consistently, right?
Yeah.
Again, you can agree or disagree whether you like the cigar in particular, but they're cigars that perform well. Like, that's why Oliva V is like on the list like every year, you know, or at least it has a qualifying opportunity to make the top 25 every year, is because that cigar is consistent. And that's what Steve's doing. Steve's performing, you know, Steve's making cigars that perform consistently every single time. Like, that's what I love about Sober Mesa. I pick it up and I smoke it, and it's perfectly complex every time I smoke it. And the little twists of the different vitolas and the different sizes and everything really make it a very dynamic line that I really enjoy. Like I said, it's my favorite thing that he does. And I think he hit a home run out of the park. And a lot of people were like, oh, so have you been disappointed with what he's done? I'm like, no, I think his cigars are great. It's still my favorite. You know, he has yet to make something that I like more than that. I mean, what's like, it's not like he's gone downhill. Like, come on, man. Not everything is negative.
No, I agree. I agree with you on that as well. And I think when you look at Sober Mesa as a brand, now it's 5 years old, and, you know, I've heard Steve say many times, it's one of his best performing brands. And I think that's what he's looking to accomplish as a brand owner there. So that's a really good job, because I think ultimately he would want Sober Mesa to be in that wheelhouse of an Oliva Serie V that we just talked about, a Padron 1926, Liga Privada. Now I think Liga Privada is, you know, now 10, 11 years are going on with those, 12 actually. So I think, yeah. And I think he's clearly Sober Mesa is on that road to accomplish that right now. But it still was interesting when Steve came out with the Habano with Sober Mesa, because even if Steve was going to do a Habano, I guess I was still thinking it was going to be like T52, right? Which is a more potent blend, I would say. This is a more refined, elegant blend, right? It was not something we expected, I think, at all when this came out.
No, I think as we're going to discuss tonight, I think that is something that you can actually say about Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust Cigars, is that they have a degree of refinement to them, with a couple of exceptions, which we'll talk about. But I think if
the next one, I think we talk about, is going to be one of those exceptions. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think when you look at it, the portfolio as a whole and everything, they're just, and if you wanted to choose a word, like an all encompassing word, like how would you describe some Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust Cigars? It'd be like pretty well, I would, you know, that would probably be a word I would gravitate toward, refined. Yeah. You know, and, you know, Steve would add some self-deprecating remark towards that, but that's fine. But I mean, just saying, like, there's an elegance to the Sober Mesa. There's an elegance to the Brulé. You know, again, don't want to spoil too much, but I know the Todos Los Días has refinement to it, you know. And, of course, the Muestra project. So, again, don't want to skip too far ahead. Oh. What are your thoughts so far? I'm about an inch in. So.
Yeah, I'm about an inch in. I've asked a couple times already. Really good. Kind of, again, a nice, sweet, natural tobacco. Some creaminess. It's mild. It's what I would expect from it's supposed to be a grandfather's Connecticut. But it's got a lot. Like, it's that mild, but it's closer to full-flavored, is what I would say. I don't want to say it's full flavored because it's not, but it's not, you know, it's mild in strength, maybe mild and medium in body is what I'll say with this. Mm-hmm. And great flavor. I mean, so I get some of that, you know, I get some of that nice creaminess off this. I'm getting that. It's almost like there's a sweet cream to it, but again, it's not that saccharine artificial type of thing. It's that the natural flavor there.
I still say this is less sweet than the last brulee I smoked.
I'm gonna say it's. I can't make that determination. It's been a while since I've had a. I have brulee coming up in review, but I wanted to wait till after we got through this exercise. So I smoked. I think I smoked the brulee back in April. So it's been a little while. So I get a little chestnut flavor in this thing too. Kind of a little bit.
There is a nice nutty quality to it.
Yeah.
Usually towards, I know we're not going to smoke that far tonight, but usually towards the finish, I get this nice kind of toasted pecan note. Mm-hmm. It's very definitive. You know, that's something, you know, you remember when we did the aging experiment with the Todos Los Dias?
Yeah.
And I went into that soliloquy about, you know, how it was a very specific chili flavor that I had that I could taste. It was the Fresno chilies.
Yes.
And I went into the story about my grandma who used to cook with Fresno chilies and how I could taste the difference, and because it takes you back. There is something about Steve and a couple of other manufacturers and blenders that had a way of doing that. Steve has a really unique way of bringing out some very childhood memories of flavor for me. The brulee finishes with this toasted pecan. And the reason why I can tell you that it's toasted pecan is because we had a pecan tree in my backyard growing up. And so my mother did everything you could possibly imagine with pecans, you know. I mean, everything from, she would also do this like thing at Christmas time where she would just throw a bunch of shells, nuts in a pot with water and spices, like literally Christmas spices. So you're like your cinnamon, your ginger, your vanilla bean, all this other stuff, little orange zest. And she would like simmer that for like hours and the house would just smell like, you know, what Christmas is supposed to smell like. So, yep. But yeah, I mean, the toasted pecan note for me on the back end of the brulees that I smoke is pretty quintessential. So, so thanks Steve for taking me back to my childhood.
You know, Steve's saying that these are the unsweetened ones, which we're going to assume this is an unsweetened one.
It's definitely unsweetened.
Was pulled from the running production. And you know, I think that was a comment I made earlier that it's as pristine as the Sober Mesa brulees that I've smoked in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the question is, how much more do we go? Do we go a little more? Do we take this down? How do we want to do it?
Hey. Your call, Coop. It's not like I'm going anywhere.
All right. Why don't we put it down?
Okay.
I hate to do it. This is like, you know.
This is for our audience. This isn't just for us, Coop. It's not just, you know. We got it. Yeah. This is the purpose.
So if for our audience, if you've smoked, now we have assessed that this is an unsweetened. This is one of the unsweetened Sober Mesa brulee. If you've smoked this already, let us know what you think. Steve, we're not asking Steve to reveal it. We don't want him to reveal it.
Yeah. Well, he actually left a comment where he says he doesn't even know.
Oh, so. Come on.
I'm just saying. That's what he said, okay? I'm just repeating what the man said. Good God.
Well, of course, if someone's going to go in and break into his safe, I mean, he's probably got that on a lock and key in Nicaragua. No, just kidding. So, all right, and that was our first piece. So now we are turning to the Sober Mesa Brulee STFU.
The U. The All U. Right. Okay. Perfect.
So if you're saying U as in it's either the U as in shut the fuck up, or it's Saka taste
yourself.
For yourself. Yeah.
Taste for yourself.
So it's the up. Yeah. It's the up. It's the up with smoking. All right. Let's.
Hey, so the foot smells the same. So
yep,
obviously the consistency there, right? You know, these are identical blends, so we should be smelling the same thing.
Yeah. The trick's going to be now when we get to some of these sweetened ones is which is the sweet and the double sweet. That's, I think, where this is going to be tough.
See, there it is, Coop. This tastes like brulee.
Slightly more sweet, though, right?
Yeah, just a touch, man. It's like right there. It's like it's not on the tip, It's not on the tip. Like, lick the tip. Lick just the tip. It's on, like, the shoulder. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, it's not. No, it's not. See, the wrapper, I just licked the bottom here, and I licked the tip. They're the same. There's some sweetness on. There is some sweetness. There is some sweetness on, like, the shoulder.
It's not like a it's not like insidious.
No.
Absolutely insidious. It's not like Baccarat, but there is.
This is the Brulee, man. This is what I've smoked.
Are you saying it's sweetened or no?
I'm not saying it's sweetened. I'm saying this is the exact same Brulee that I smoked.
A little sweeter.
Has some sweetness to it. Yeah. And you taste the difference, right? From the triplex.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't tell what this, but it's that butterscotchy, right? That when I caught it, you really taste it. This is very interesting.
This is Brulee.
But I don't know what that is.
Well, I don't know what I just smoked. I mean, it could be Brulee too, but this is the Brulee that I've had since that first one.
Yeah. This is an interesting one.
Yeah, that cap has absolutely no That cap has absolutely no sweetness to it. It's on the shoulder, man.
But it's sweeter. It's not aggressively sweet.
No. This is very subtle, like I said.
Like, you're not. Here's what's interesting about this.
Steve's getting a kick out of this.
Yeah, he knows the answer. See, now, this is. I know this is what you're talking about, but this is not. Again, this is not that sugar dip cap that I'm getting. But I understand what you're saying about when you hit the shoulder, that thing.
Yeah.
Wow. This is exactly what your demented mind had intended, Sokka.
I'm glad we went backwards, man.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to let them do their own things without being a voyeur.
This is Brulee.
Well, okay, is it sweetened Brulee? Or is it just
No, this is the Brulee that I smoked off the shelf.
So here's where you're going to get into. Now, here's what you got to look at for a second, okay? He said there's one of each, but no more. There's one of each, and the other two, he's not saying what they are.
It's fine.
So could there be three unsweetened in there?
There could be.
It could be.
The exclamation point had nothing, though.
There is no way the exclamation point was sweetened at all. I tell you what, it's a great exercise to go through this. But, I mean, Steve, he can make this an annual thing if you think about it.
Yeah, and just shuffle.
Yeah, or even just change, sweet tip, maybe a meat carita or something next year or something.
Oh, man. Man,
but it's a feud. But I'm getting a little more of that butterscotchy sweet. If I had a guess, I would say there's a little bit of sweetness on this. But this could be maybe my mind playing tricks on me right now after smoking. Because this is sweeter than the exclamation point, the triple exclamation point one.
Okay, so the purpose – okay. I'm going to go back and read this description, okay? Because I want
to – Okay. By the way, yeah, we got a
sweet tipped. Okay, sweet tipped. Okay, so the tip is the furthest point, right?
Right.
So the tip was not sweetened. There is sweetness to this. This is very, like I said, this is exceptionally consistent with every Brulee that I've had since the initial one that I had the trade show. The trade show one that I smoked tasted a lot more similar to the first one that we smoked. Mm-hmm. This tastes like what I've smoked time and time again. I've had. I don't know, a few dozen in various sizes.
Right.
Let's see. We're 59 minutes into this, Coop, and now the sexual jokes start coming in. Okay, good job, guys. Way to keep it clean. Fantastic.
Well, folks didn't hear our opening dialogue about the hot moms and Halloween costumes. If you want to hear about hot moms and Halloween costumes, watch the beginning of this show. I know Ronnie will like it, right?
and Coop giving away cigars to dads on the front porch.
Yeah, yeah. And
now the hot moms too will get the cigars.
Hot moms will be getting the cigars. And what I say, I talked about feminism, how moms wouldn't want to make costumes in the 70s. I get pissed off. So I'm comparing this cigar to that X-Wing. This is sweeter. I'm just going to say this is sweeter.
It is sweeter. I don't know what that is. I don't know what the exclamation point one is. This is definitely brulee.
See, that was more brulee to me when I had that one. It's amazing how we're kind of different on this. I felt the exclamation point was more of what I got out of brulee. Right now, I'm leaning towards saying this is sweet tipped. But there's some sweetener on this. But not sweet tips. There's some sweetener on this.
I can't. Well, I'm gonna go literal on this, man. I think that the cap would be sweetened, and that the cap was not sweetened on this.
See, I'm putting them side by side right now. There's no doubt one is sweeter than the other, and it's the U.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Hands down. This is sweeter.
All right. Well, we enjoy the U. Why don't we take on the next subject of Sakaology, Coop? How does that sound?
Yeah, Mi Querida.
Okay.
So Mi Querida was Steve's second regular production blend, let's say. Mm-hmm. That was kind of, let's not even say second. Let's say it was the one that was kind of broadly introduced, because right around that time was 2016. That was when the whole FDA crisis was hitting. And it was his long-awaited broadleaf return to broadleaf.
Right.
He had been very much associated with Liga Number 9. And then Sober Mesa comes out. Here he does it again with this one. He doesn't... What's the one I'm putting for? He doesn't come out with Liga Number 9. Okay, he comes out with Mi Querida.
Right.
And he talks about that dank, kind of gritty type of broadleaf. But it's not in the mold of a Henry Clay either, if you're right. Going with that.
He has a cigar in that family, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, he does have a cigar in that family we'll talk about. But, wow, I mean, what a great cigar that is. He does that cigar out of the Noxa factory where Sober Mesa was out of Hoya. He goes up to Noxa to do that factory, to do that cigar at that factory. And that cigar, to my opinion, that was a great cigar. I can tell you that when I was still with Stogie Geeks then, I had that in my top 10. It was, I think it was 6. And Paul had it number 1 that year. And I never would have expected Paul to have a number 1 cigar like that, knowing like this is the guy who's grown up smoking a Fuente Opus X's, you know, things like that. EP Carrillo Connecticut, right? Paul comes along and he smokes that Mi Querida, and it's like, wow, you know, what a big surprise that was for his palate. So I was caught off guard how much he liked that cigar. But yeah, that becomes a little more price points, a little more affordable than Sober Mesa, but by no means an inferior cigar. I mean, if anything, it's a great complimentary cigar in that one.
No, I completely agree. I think that, and I actually disagree with you, Coop, because I think you said, like, we were talking about how the Sober Mesa and other cigars in the portfolio are refined, and that you alluded that this was an example of one of the non-refined ones. I disagree. I think the Mi Querida does have refinement to it. If you compare, if we're gonna do the sinful thing and actually compare Mi Querida against Liga Privada number 9, Liga Privada is a lot more rustic. the Mikarita does have some refinement to it. I mean, yeah. for one, I think, and this isn't a knock on Liga Nines. I like Liga Nines. I do. I really enjoy the cigar. I still enjoy the cigar today. I think the Mikarita is a prettier cigar.
I think it's a beautiful cigar.
I think the wrappers that he selects for that cigar are prettier. I think they're less toothy. I think they're more oily. And I thoroughly enjoy the blend. I do. But I think overall, I think it is more refined. I think if we're comparing Liga 9 to Mikarita, I think Mikarita is more refined. Now, if we're comparing, obviously, Mikarita and Sober Mesa, then yeah, obviously, Sober Mesa, takes the cake on that. But I think it is a refined cigar.
Yeah, I get where you're going with the analogy with that. That I can agree with. But yeah, compared to Sober Mesa, but there's a dankness. Okay, Steve uses the word dank, and it's so appropriate, but it's not a negative. It's part of the whole lure of that Mikarita cigar.
Dank is actually a term that you and I know you don't drink much, Coop, but dank is a term that you hear a lot in beer reviews and in beer drinking, with certain use of hops or certain styles. And dank just has this, you would think it is a knock because it sounds like a negative connotation. Well, what is something that's dank? Well, it's wet and it's earthy. Well, that doesn't sound very appetizing at all, but it's the same thing that we talked about before, Coop, when we've had discussions with Klaus and other people at Davidoff who aren't afraid to use the word acrid or acidic or bitter.
Right. Or bitter.
These are three words that you in a retail setting. Jay Davis is watching this, Blue Smoke. He can attest to this. Those are three words you do not mention to a consumer when describing a cigar. Oh, this cigar's got some great bitterness. I don't want that shit. They're not going to buy it. Like, you don't say it, but bitterness, acidity, an acrid note provides balance to a blend, just like the dankness, the earthiness, the extreme earthiness in the Mikarita really provides balance to the spice, to the there's sweetness in that wrapper, there's sweetness in that blend. I mean, it's got some power. I still haven't smoked the Grand Buffalo, which I know just disappoints you. But I really want to try, and Sean Miles is also watching. I'm going to break his heart right now. I really want to try that cigar because I haven't had it yet, and I really wanted to. It's that the gigantic, the whatever you want to call it, the Presidente or
the old Masucia.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your favorite size of the Mikarita?
The Ancho Larga.
I think the 6x52. That was when it originally came out, but then when he added the Gordita, the 4x48, fantastic. I give a slight edge to that Gordita.
The Ancho Cordo is probably my second favorite. Both Anchos are my two favorites in that blend.
The Fino Largo is kind of one that gets forgotten about. That's the Corona Gorda size.
Yeah, it does, man. And I don't know what – normally I like that size, and normally I like when Steve does variations of that expression in typical things. But, I mean, I just – and the two original releases in Sober Mesa and Mikarita, I just – that the size Vitola around that size just didn't really necessarily do it for me.
Yeah.
The El Americano, like, it's probably – I think it's – if I remember correctly, that's probably his top seller in that line. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
That was Aaron. That's what Aaron included in the sample pack.
Yeah, I was really excited that he did. I mean, I love that cigar. I really do. It's just, again, we've already gone through my favorites in that particular line. But I do love the two Anchos, the Largo and the Corda in the Mikarita.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And again, you look at another brand that's done very well for him. Mikarita has become, again, a great core line that he has, where, again, now I've had it 2 years. It made two sizes in 2 years, made my top 10. which was the Uncle Largo in 2000. Yes. Yeah, the Uncle Largo in 2016 and the Gordito in 2018.
Yeah, Steve just confirmed it. The Toro is the number one size in every Vitola, in every line.
Yeah.
It's the number one.
So it's the Uncle Largo. It's very good. It's a very good cigar in that line. I really enjoy that line. It's one I don't get tired of smoking. I don't have a cigar rotation. I hear that word thrown around. I don't have a cigar rotation. But what I have is typically when I was going into more stores before COVID, I mean, I always buy something in the store. And it's one of two things. I'll buy two things. One is something that I don't have, I haven't had before. And usually I take that home, to a couple of those to review. And then usually I smoke something I'm familiar with in the store. So I could tell you, Mi Carita is something I have reached for in the store to do that a lot. You know, I just know, hey, it's one I'm going to enjoy. It's one I don't have to think about because I've reviewed it and I know a lot about it already. And that's kind of the approach I've taken with that. Now, in true Sakaology fashion, right, he wasn't satisfied with having, you know, just one blend, right? So there was a variation that was worked on. And that started out originally as the Firecracker.
Right.
That he did for Two Guys. So he did the 3.5x50 format of the Fire. By the way, really good cigar. I did have a chance to smoke that. Really. Someone actually heard I hadn't had it. And I forget who gave it to me. And I'm sorry, forgetting who gave it to me. But wow, what a cigar! It was definitely amped up for sure.
Yeah, I smoked one and it was stellar.
Aaron had that cigar on his top list. He liked it a lot. But it was acknowledged to be a different variation of the blend there. So much so that then that became the basis for releasing a brand extension. I call Tricky Tracker a brand extension, not a line extension, where it's another blend under the brand, Mi Carita, and that's the Tricky Tracker, which was based off those Firecracker blends. Right. I was out in Denver, and I was over in the Dojo Studios, and Emmett from Blind Man's Puff came over, and he said, "Have you smoked this yet?" I said, "Emmett, actually, I have not smoked this yet. Just for whatever reason, I hadn't, right?" And he handed me one. And it was freaking good. I mean, I got some more. I reviewed them on Coop a few months ago. I did very well. I'm a fan of the Tricky Tracker. I'm not sure where I put it versus the Mi Carita though. I'm still kind of on the, I may have a slight edge for those two Mi Carita sizes I talked about still.
Oh, I'm firmly in a camp. I'll say the most controversial thing tonight. Because I have a feeling that no one's going to agree with me. So light me up, chat. The original Mi Carita, hands down, is better than the Tricky Tracker. Again, not saying the Tricky Tracker is bad, okay? It's not, I'm not, you know, let's not go scorched earth here over here. But hands down, Mi Carita's, the original Mi Carita Blue is a superior cigar to the Tricky Tracker. Coop, can you hear me? Coop? All right, for those tuning in here, we've gotten some technical difficulties here, so I apologize for the pause and the delay as we kind of get things up and rolling here. So we are smoking through the STFU sampler. Brought to you by Steve Saka of Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust. So we're going through this particular line of cigars, and we're chatting about we're comparing, and we're actually trying to decide what Steve did with this. So for those unfamiliar with the project, he was basically, I'll just summarize the summary that he had on the back of this sampler, is that he was tired of people talking about how the Brulee is sweet tipped. He declares that the cigar is, in fact, not sweet tipped, obviously. And so what he did with this project is this five pack includes original brulees, brulee, same blend, but with a sweet tip. And then another variation of the brulee that is double sweet tip. So Coop and I are experimenting right now as we try to find which cigars actually have the sweetened tips and which ones are the original brulee. So my contention so far is that we've decided to smoke these in backwards order. So we went with the triple hammer first. Okay. So we went with the triple exclamation point first. We smoked through that. Coop and I agree, there is absolutely no sweetness, or at least artificially, to it. There is some sweetness to the tobacco, some nice creaminess, great spice. You know, we were pretty much on par that this was, you know, I was still saying that it was slightly different than the last brulees that I've smoked. We lit up the U, and that's what we're smoking right now. I am firmly believing, and as I continue to smoke this, I firmly believe that this is exactly like the brulees that I smoked off the shelf recently. So I actually smoked a brulee on an interview that I had with Steve a few weeks ago, and this tastes exactly like it. There's some sweetness on the shoulder of the cigar. There wasn't any sweetness on the cap. There's no sweetness on the wrapper. Again, when I say that, when I'm talking about the sweetness, we're talking about this artificial sweetness that we are all accustomed to when you smoke a Baccarat, when you smoke an Asylum Acidius, or any of those or any acid cigars, non-traditional cigars that have a sweetened cap to them. Again, we're not necessarily judging and saying that that's a knock against some of the cigars, but what we are saying is that, you know, that obviously that they're different, and they're influenced, or they're changed from the original use of the tobacco. So I firmly believe that the U is the brulee, is exactly identical to the brulees that I've been smoking. So I'm really excited to try these other variations. Now, we are experiencing some difficulties tonight. Audience, thank you so much for hanging in as we get Coop back online. I wanted to ask the audience here, what they've thought about the project if you smoked it. Now, don't give us your answers. I've seen a couple people in the chat telling me what they think. We're trying to do this blind as well, so, and we're trying to do some judgment on that, but I wanted to hear what you guys thought about the overall project. If you guys smoked through them, what'd you guys think? Did you enjoy the experiment? Did you enjoy the experience? So I want to hear about that as well. But, and as we've been discussing these cigars, we've kind of been going through Sakaology, through the history of Steve Saka's lines. And we started with the Sober Mesa, right? We started with the Sober Mesa, and we talked about how that is my personal favorite line that Steve makes. And then we're talking about the Mi Querida, and I, you know, kicked off tonight's controversy by saying the Tricky Traca is probably, it certainly received critical acclaim, you know, last year when it was released. A lot of cigar media outlets put it on their top 25 lists and everything like that. So it was certainly a fantastic example of a good cigar. I enjoyed it, but hands down, in my opinion, the Mi Querida Blue is a vastly superior cigar to the Tricky Traca. And I know that's saying a lot. And you're like, how can you make such a definitive statement? How can you be so extreme on it and not dislike the Tricky Traca? Well, I don't. I'm sorry. I just think the Mi Querida is that good, and I think Sober Mesa is better than Mi Querida. So that's kind of where we're standing. So yeah. Coop, I reset everybody. I asked everyone how they've enjoyed the project. I know some people have been coming in with some predictions. I told them not to do that, but I wanted to get people's thoughts on what they thought if they've been smoking through the experiment as well. So we've really kept our audience. Everyone's excited that you're back. I don't know if you want the gallery view live, Coop, or if you went to speaker view.
I use the speaker view for a few reasons. So I went back to
Good. It's up and running. Okay, so
I don't know what happened. Zoom lost. It wasn't the internet that went down, but Zoom went down.
Yeah. Well, thank God our audience stayed with me, because for then there I thought it was on my end, so I was just kind of sitting here.
No. I thought it was. I said I think Bear froze, and then the next thing I know, it goes into the abyss. But we have the stream still going on Facebook. We didn't lose the stream, so that was good.
So Steve, I saw your comment. saw your comment about no one at the IPCPR PCA trade show mentioned it being sweet. I was one of those people. Like I said,
we did too.
Like I said, I mean, I can't say for certain, but the exclamation point cigar, it was more consistent with what I smoked at the trade show than what I pick up off the shelf. And now I've not really swayed either way. I don't know if the Brulé is sweet capped or not. I'm not willing to say it either way. Not because I don't want to piss you off and not because I don't want to be controversial. I mean, I try to be a straight shooter. But there is a different sweetness. Let's just call it that. There is a different sweetness on the Brulés that I smoke, which is in line with the U that I'm smoking right now, than the original time that I had it, or cigars that have absolutely other cigars that have no sweetness apparently. So it is a different flavor. It's very unique. So let's call it what it is there. But I think the U is definitively like the Brulés that I've been smoking recently.
All right. So are we going to put our vote in for this one? You can't change it.
Yeah. I don't think it's sweet capped.
I'm going to go sweet capped.
I don't think it is.
But we can change it as we get to the other ones, knowing that there's at least one of these in there.
Yeah.
So this is the one we're disagreeing on. I'm going to say it's sweet, but it's very subtle.
No, the sweetness is different, but this tastes like Brulé to me. I'm sorry. So I'm going to say that it's not.
Okay. All right. So that
the exclamation point definitely is not. This is not either, though.
I'm going to say it is. I think there were little points where I got a little bit of that sweetness.
It's on the shoulder. It tastes like Brulé.
Well, no,
I ashed all over myself. I burnt my leg hair off.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
All right. So
great content.
Yep. All right. So, and again, apologies for the technical connection here. The connection was lost on my end, which is never good. But the show streamed through Facebook. We didn't lose anything on Facebook. So, why don't we do F? We'll start smoking F. We'll do a little soccerology and then get into our one must goes. Sound good?
Sounds good to me. So you before you got cut off from the world, you were saying that. That you really don't have – it's not definitive. There's not really an edge between Mi Querida and Tricky Tracker for you. You just enjoy both of them?
I would say still that Gordita is my favorite. But as a line as a whole, I would keep them equal. But the original Mi Querida Gordita is probably my favorite. I don't think there's a Tricky Tracker size that beats that one. But if I kind of look at the line as a whole, I'm about even with them. They're two different cigars. All right, this one's easy. This one's definitely sweetened.
Foot smells the same.
Yeah.
The wrapper smells the same. There's no sweetness on the wrapper. This one has a little bit more sweetness, but it's still not on the tip. It's still not on the cap.
It seems like it's on the sides, isn't it?
Yeah. I think this is consistent with the U.
I think this is interesting. I'm definitely getting some sweetness off this one. Is there a prize we get if we get these right?
I don't know. Steve's in the chat, Steve.
No, we're not. I'm not eligible for the $1,000 under the Coop rules. I can't speak for the also from our rules, but we don't.
There's a $1,000 bounty.
I think there's some $1,000 contest he's got going on. Steve, you can prog it if you want. This is sweetened. This one's sweetened. I can't say if it's double sweetened, but it's sweetened.
This one tastes like the U to me, man.
This is sweetened. Although I ran around like frantically in the house to see if the router went down.
Steve says you're eligible, but it's a Coop thing, Steve.
It's a Coop thing. Yeah, it's a Coop. We want we always believe that we have a relationship with him first of all. We respect that, and it's for the customers and the retailers here. Oh, we do appreciate it though. It's a personal thing. By the way, so this is, we're smoking the Sober Mesa Brulé F. which is stands for if it's under Soccer's Taste Four yourself, four. It's the four, or if it's the Shut the Fuck, this is the Fuck Cigar.
This is the Fuck Cigar.
Yeah. This is sweetened. I'm saying this one's sweetened. It's the sweetest one I've had of the three. And now I'm going and comparing the two. But this one, if there's any sweetness, it's the residual probably ran off.
I'm going back to the exclamation point. I'm doing it.
Yep. I hate putting these cigars on. This is the one bad thing about this. They're good cigars. Again, thanks to the audience for the technical problems there. Great job covering us through that, too. Nothing well, like you, when don't, you have
you don't know what I said, Coop, so don't thank me yet.
No, I won't. Yeah.
Slightly sweeter.
Than the U?
Slightly. But it's not on the cap, man. It's on the shoulders again, man. It's.
I'm not ready to say this is the double sweet, though. Because I'm not
I
sure
was
what
like,
he means by
when
single
I would,
double.
When
I'm
I was thinking
sure.
about double, I mean, I thought it was like slap you in the face, like cloyingly, like, but yeah. Like just rich butterscotch, like liquid drizzle of caramel.
I was thinking saccharin, you know, and that's what I was thinking. I was going to get like that, you know, what you get off an acid tip or a deadwood tip, you know, or that's kind of what I was thinking with that.
Okay, so I just brought up a tasting note. So you want to it really bothers me. It really bothers me when people pronounce caramel.
Yep.
I don't know why.
Caramel. Like,
it's caramel. Look how it's spelled. It's not spelled caramel. It's spelled caramel. I mean, it's interchangeable, right? Tomato, tomato. Like,
well,
it
how do you
means
say
the same.
You say caramelly or caramelly?
Nothing. I say it tastes like caramel. Like if you're talking about caramelized, like caramelized onions, it's caramelized, not caramelized. Like.
By the way, a scoreboard update. Final score. We're a little late in giving this. The Philadelphia Phillies 4, the New York Mets 1.
The Red Sox actually won tonight. They beat they beat the Marlins. Woohoo!
We're playing good. No, Marlins are playing good. We're playing some good ball. And the Yankee fans are back. 20-6 win over Toronto.
20-6. Holy
what
crap!
What is it? Yeah. Just so we are being complete for all fans here, I do not have a Gabe Kapler update. I'm sorry. Did he have the day off? Did they have the day off or something?
I mean, I follow the Giants because of you and Rob, so I was expecting you guys to know.
I'll just look again. It's maybe my scoreboard is not up to date.
Santa Clara and Alan Rubin saying, go Yankees. Get out of here, dude.
Postponed. Way to go, Kapler. I don't know why they were postponed.
It was the chicken nuggets, dude.
Santa Clara Rubin. Mayor Rubin. I'm calling him Mayor Rubin now.
Mayor Rubin?
Mayor Rubin. Mayor Alan Rubin, yeah. Nah, he's a good guy. Alan's a good man. All right. Well, I'm like right now, I'm in the camp that this is sweetened, but I'm not ready to say it's the double. Because I don't know what the definition of single and double is with Steve. This is what's coming out.
I guess we would just know, but it is slightly sweeter than the U.
That's what's making this really interesting. Is like my definition of.
Is he going to slap us in the face with the S or the T? Like, are we going to get told? I think this is the same as the U, man. Like, honestly.
But you then that means you have three unsweetened ones. You're saying three of them are unsweetened.
Yeah.
That's
so I'm the kinda, exclamation point has absolutely no sweetness to it.
I think we're in agreement. The exclamation point is an unsweetened one. We disagreed on the U. I thought it was sweetened.
I think the U just tastes like a brulee, man. It tastes like the brulee. Like, so if we're saying that, and I think this tastes like the brulee.
I can make this argument that this smokes similar to the U. That one I could say, but it's still, I know it has a slight bit more sweetness I'm getting on it.
Oh, man, the S and the T are going to screw us. Oh, man.
This is what we're going to do. So while we were evaluating this, let's go to the next part of the Soccerology thing, which is Todos Los Dias. And that was released in 2017. It's a regular production line. Comes out of the Hoya de Nicaragua factory. And it's probably considered of all the cigars the most powerful of Steve's blends, sort of. Then there's one that's even more powerful than that. It's a Nicaraguan puro that he's done, and Steve's not known for a lot of Nicaraguan puros. If memory serves me right. And I'll say this: this seems to be the line that gets forgotten about today.
Oh, you're 100% right.
It totally is 100%. I feel that, and you and I have gone through. We did our first aging experiment on this cigar in 2018.
Right.
No, was it the first? Yeah, it was the first, because we did the second was the Crown Heads, and now we're still in the middle of the foundation one. And you and I really liked the way this cigar came together aging wise.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. No. The Todos Los Dias line is, we'll be talking about my next favorite cigar here in a little bit in his portfolio. But the Todos Los Dias is my third favorite, I guess you could call it line or blend that he makes. Uh-huh. I thoroughly enjoy it. I think it's refined. I think it is powerful, but it's restrained in the right ways. I think
it doesn't assault you. It doesn't knock you down.
It doesn't. Well, like Steve is fond of saying that he doesn't have a pepper bomb in his portfolio, right?
Right. But this has pepper, but it's not like that in your face black pepper that I call on a cigar. It's got you mentioned that chili pepper.
Yeah.
There's something to that. But again, it doesn't, there's enough complexity in that cigar to let the other flavors shine with that.
The thing I love about Todos Los Dias is that it's really for as powerful of a cigar that it is, it really is, it can be an everyday cigar.
Yeah.
There's a time of day to smoke that cigar, or a moment for that cigar. You can smoke, it carries enough weight and power so you can smoke it after a really rich meal, and it's very satisfying, but you could easily enjoy that on a summer afternoon and not sweat through it.
No, I agree. I'm with you on that one. That was another top 10 cigar for Steve, a number 6 rating it got for the double wide Bellicoso for me. So that was a very good cigar, and that's that 4.75 by 60, which, Barry, I know you don't like 60s, but when you have the Bellicoso tip, it's not like you're smoking a 60 anymore. It's my
That Vitola. No, I enjoy that Vitola a lot. No, I really, like I said, as much as I am a Vitola snob, I think the Todos Los Dias hits on all Vitolas, with the exception of the cigar that we're about to talk about,
which is the
Mas Fuerte.
So Soccerology again. Wasn't this the one where Steve said he sent the wrong blend to the factory?
He messed up.
Who's going to smoke this? And the Mas Fuerte was that Lonsdale.
And see, the Mas Fuerte is Steve's favorite of all the Todos Los Dias.
I like it. It made my coupe list last year.
It's my least favorite.
It was on the coupe list last year. It's a Lonsdale as opposed to a Lancero. Thank you, Steve. It's actually more of a Corona Gorda when you think about it. It's a 46 ring.
Right, technically.
He calls it the thick Lonsdale, so let's be fair. He's not calling it Lonsdale. He's calling it thick Lonsdale. I didn't find it to be super stronger than the original Toast Celestia. But you weren't a fan of this one, you're saying?
Over the other Toast Celestia? Absolutely not. Yeah.
I agree. I think
If we're talking about in the context of Toast Celestia, the line, yeah, no, it was by far my least favorite.
In terms of, yeah, we can argue like the amped up Sober Mesa, we both really liked it, right? The amped up Tricky Traca, I probably liked it a little more than you did. But I think we're in agreement with this one that the original Todos Los Dias was the more satisfying. And this, like I said, this is not a bad cigar because it was on the Coupe list last year in 2019. It made the Coupe list. So keep that in mind on that one.
So, in fact, I actually reviewed this cigar, the Mas Forte.
What did you give it?
I gave it an 89. So okay. See, I didn't like it. I mean, I didn't dislike it. See, told you guys.
We'll talk about it. So wait a minute. So stop for a second. You gave that an 89. How much hate mail did you get? Did Dojo get any hate mail on that one?
I don't know. Let me look at the comments.
Oh, no, I got hate mail. Like, people didn't just comment. They reached out to me.
Well,
they
Jordan doesn't forward hate mail or fan mail to me, so I guess so.
So you give it an 89, right? And you get off the hook. I get basically tarred and feathered for giving a cigar an 89.
Here's the thing about 89s. Again, it's by far my least favorite Vitola in it, but that tells you how much I like the Todos Los Dias. But when I give a cigar an 88 or an 89, that's a cigar that I'll smoke.
But that's what mine too. I gave
that's
it a buy
cigar that I will smoke, and I'll reach for an 88 or 89 in my scoring lexicon. I will. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I mean, I put up, it was 1 year since the Sin Compromiso review, which we'll talk about that. And I got more hate mail. I knew, because I did purposely to get more hate mail so I could talk about it tonight. That's why I put it up 1 year later. but yeah, I mean, it's just, but it was the most, it's by far the most controversial review. And 89 is a controversial score in general, though. Because somehow, because 90 is considered the magic level. And 89 is, and like you said, you and I will smoke 89 cigars. With no problem.
Well, think about this again in the small sample size of the number of reviews that I've done for Cigar Dojo. The highest rated cigar that I've given is a 92.
Well, the highest scoring cigar on Coupe this year is a 92 as well. With the criteria this year, the last 2 years, it's almost impossible to get over a 92, 93. Mm-hmm. I put it so it's really hard, but it's possible to separate out men from the boys. But you know, we're competing with a lot of sites that have much less stringent scoring criteria, and it's just that's reality. You know, and I'm not saying they're wrong, I'm just saying that's what we're competing against. With the idea, I looked at it like as a percentile thing, and if you're in a 92, you're in a damn good percentile, and if you're in 100, you're perfection, which is why we don't give it, it's almost impossible to get a perfect cigar. You can get something, 92 is damn close though. Like, if you give a 92% discount on a product, you're practically giving it away anyway. So I kind of looked at it like that. All right. Todos was, I think we both, like I said, I think it's kind of one brand that's gotten forgotten about in the soccer. And it's a shame because I think it's a great cigar. So smoke more Todos Los Dias is there.
So the one thing, so here was one of the things that I love about the other Todos Los Dias lines versus the Mas Forte. My quintessential line or what my line in the sand was about that particular blend of that size or that Vitola within the blend is the one thing that I love about the Todos Los Dias cigars. And we talked about it earlier and we talked about it on the show when we did the aging experiment too, is I love the retrohale in that cigar.
Oh, absolutely. You got to retrohale that cigar to really get the experience. Otherwise it's going to be an average cigar. Yes.
Complex. It's got this chilies that we talked about. It's got some coffee. It's got some it's got some beautiful sweetness. It's got a lot of good spice from those chilies. It's phenomenal. It balances out the blend. It's terrific. The Mas Forte to me was muted. The retrohale was muted in comparison. Okay, I'm not saying that it was like just dead on my on my nose or anything like that. It wasn't like dead of aroma. It had terrific aroma to it. But on the Retrohail, I just didn't get the same experience that I got out of the original sizes, the original Vitolas of that blend. So that's I guess my line in the sand is that I just did not enjoy the Retrohail as much as I enjoyed it on other ones.
We talked a lot about this cigar during the aging experiment because we did three iterations. Oh, we did two iterations of this.
Two iterations, one before off the shelf in 6 months.
Right. We've talked a lot about it. It's the most unique Nicaraguan Puro I've had in a long time. It is very unique for a Nicaraguan Puro, and it's kind of like what I would want out of a Nicaraguan Puro. The spice, but the spice is complex. You know what I mean? It's bold, you know, but the strength is not overly assaulting you. You know, that's kind of what I look for with that. And I think Todos Los Días really delivers that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great cigar.
I think Boston Jimmy would be really impressed with the burn cone on this cigar. Just saying.
Yeah. No, I look at mine. I haven't quite figured out his bone cone. I do, and I don't understand the bone cone, the burn cone thing. All right. Why don't we, while we're still smoking this, and why don't we get into our.
Ronnie's about to fist fight me over Dos Los Dias Mas Fuerte. So, yeah, let's change the subject.
Ronnie. I can name, you know, if we do five shows, if we pick like four or five brands, we could probably have Ronnie in the chat room on every show. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got to pick the four or five, and then we know we'll have high ratings too. So, all right. Let's get into our One Must Go segment, sponsored by United Cigars. United we smoke, but one must go. Brought to you by United Cigars, featuring the La Diana Havana and the distributors of Jose Dominguez, Bandolero, Garofalo, and the highly acclaimed Byron and Atabey. Buy United, smoke United, live United. So we actually did two. Bear Audible and pull the second one in there, which I think is really good, and that's going to be the more controversial one. But Bear, I kind of was watching your show with Robert Holt on Sunday night.
Yeah, good show.
And this gave the inspiration for it. Okay. Combined with doing the show with Juan Cancel on Thursday night as well. Okay. Which, by the way, a plug. If you want to see the show, the Protocol Guys in a completely different light, watch that show, Primetime Episode 155 we just recorded. All right, because I think you'll be real surprised about it. So I was inspired by this, and this deals with limited edition cigars, okay? And I picked three types of limited edition cigars, and one of them has to go forever. Are you ready?
Hit me, baby.
Single store or single store chain exclusive cigars is number one. TAA exclusive cigars is number two. And event only cigars is number three. One must go.
All right. Single store releases. So as an example, and to paint in context, so like the Dunderma that Ronnie has at his.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So that's an example of a single store release, correct?
Yep.
Okay. TAA exclusive. So an example of that is any of the TAA cigars, right? So like the Pete Johnson TAA,
yep.
Things like that. So, and then an example of an event cigar is, like the what Numero Uno was before it went into regular production.
Or Pulpetta is now for Steve.
Pulpetta for Steve, yeah. Is an event cigar. So okay. So which one must go?
One must go. Forever.
So you're putting me on the spot because you know everyone knows your pick?
You may be surprised with my pick.
Oh, I am going to be surprised. I'm going to hate you so much for this. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, I'll go. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let me go through my arguments for each one of them. So I get excited about the TAA releases every year. I know you and I have this discussion, it seems like every year about this. You bring this up continuously. It's like one of our debates. It's like the Lancero versus Gordo argument, I swear to God. Yep. But the thing I like about TAA releases, and not all of them, like, okay, but I really like to see what each company likes to bring to the table. Sometimes it's a different blend. Sometimes it's a variation of a blend. That's only afforded to TAA members. And there are companies that just knock it out of the park continually each and every year. We've talked about Pete with Tatuaje. We've talked about La Florida Dominicana, Crowned Heads. Those three are the Angels Anvil is the Crowned Heads variation. Those three companies I thoroughly look forward to and have enjoyed every single TAA that I've smoked to those. Yes, some are better than others, but I thoroughly enjoy all of those.
Some are really bad.
Now, there are – well, not out of those three companies, though. There are some
– Not out of those three companies. Not out of those three companies, yeah.
There are some bad TAA releases.
Really bad. Really bad. I'm not just saying bad. Really bad.
There are some really underrated ones. The Nat Sherman Pan Americana.
Yeah, I agree.
That cigar is stellar. The Christoph 49, unbelievable.
I agree with those two.
The Christoph San Andreas from this year, also incredibly good.
Christoph's another company that's done good. Christoph's another company I'll put in that's done very well.
Wish the TAA at San Andreas was eligible for my top 10. It's not. Love that cigar.
Not eligible. None of these types of cigars are eligible for coupe lists, by the way, anymore.
They're not eligible for mine as well. So right. You'll never see one on the list. So I thoroughly look forward to TAA each year, and I'm disappointed, as we talked about, some of the cigars are just not good. And that is a detriment to what they're trying to accomplish with TAA. Store exclusives are exciting. You know, they're exciting, especially when it's an exciting brand that's doing them. You know, Steve with his Don Derma with Ronnie, it was something that was exciting. The blend that he used, you know, because he used Wisconsin tobacco in it, very unique, you know, something really exciting, something that's not offered. I really loved what, well, this is actually in a store, this is a bad example, but I really loved what Crown Heads did, but it was more retailer exclusive, not a single store exclusive, but they did have some single store exclusives as well, like the WW and a couple other cigars as well. I love, yes, I'm biased, but I love the La Aurora Black Diamond Preferido number one, the Michaels exclusive.
I love that one too.
I love that cigar. I love it better than the original Preferido. I think it's phenomenal. I think they're exciting because I think it's really cool for retailers to be able to have that great of a relationship with a manufacturer or with a blender or with an owner to be able to do some stuff. I think it is over to put the paint in the picture on the negative side. I think it is overdone sometimes. I wish that some companies wouldn't focus so much on them. Not to call them out too terribly, but I mean, you know, Protocol does that. Protocol has a lot of single store releases, you know?
I'll tell you their core line. There's not one of their single store releases that has been better than their worst core line, in my opinion.
I'm trying to think. I could go along with that.
But they have really good core lines too. So let's be fair.
Their core lines are sensational. So yeah. But I really wish that they wouldn't necessarily do it as much. And I think it can be overdone, and when it's overdone, I think it's like, because if you're a fan of those cigars, you know, if you're a fan of, you know, a lot of people, you know, I mean, look at how many people are tuned into Steve tonight on his channel. Look how many people are tuned in tonight to watch us smoke these cigars and try to fumble around and try to figure out what's sweet and not sweet.
Yeah,
people are a fan of Steve's cigar, so of course people really excited for Ronnie when the Don Derma came out. So if you're a hunter of a particular brand of cigars and you overdo it, now Steve's an example of not doing this because he doesn't overdo it. But if you're a fan of a cigar brand that overdoes it, you're constantly hunting. You might not have the ability to get it. And you're constantly hunting and trying to find it or trying to trade or trying to, it's just a lot of work to get a cigar from a cigar company that you like. And it's like, well, that stinks to be you if you don't have the opportunity to get it. And it's like, too bad. Sorry. I mean, think about this, Coop. You could be the number one fan of a cigar brand, which is obviously a subjective argument, but you could be a top fan of a cigar brand and not have the ability to get any of their single store releases because you're just not afforded the opportunity. How disappointing is that if you're a fan of that line, right? So that's the negative, right, of single store releases. Now, event cigars are kind of fun too. I really like event cigars because it gets everybody involved. It's saying, hey, the manufacturer, the brand owner is saying, hey, listen, I created something special that I want to give to my customer, the retailer, and share with your customer, the consumer. And so I think it's exciting. It's dynamic. Yes, it has that limitability, that TAA and single store release, but it's a little bit more widely accessible, right? Because events, I mean, you could have 100 events in a year that where you have the opportunity to get that cigar. And if you're a good fan, if you're a big fan of a cigar company, more than likely your local retailer is probably going to have an event with that company at some point during the year, and you have the opportunity to get that cigar. I really like what Christoph did with Jared's JT Signature. That's not a true
event cigar in my book, though.
It's not, but I like what they, the variation that they did with it is like,
and hey, I'm going to get that. Yeah,
I do. Host an event now, you can have it on your shelf.
Right.
La Florida Dominicana does that well as well.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't limit. They don't just say, hey, this is only limited to the day of the event. You can carry it for, you know, depending on how much you get, you know, you might sell out of it, then you're sold out of it. But so I think the Menelik was originally an event cigar.
That was an event cigar, became regular production, kind of like the Numero Uno.
Yeah. So I think event cigars are fun and they're dynamic, and I think they engage everybody. And in fact, I'd say the event cigar is the most widely reached limited production cigar out of this group that we have.
Right.
So here's my choice.
Okay.
Okay. I love TAA. Sorry, that's not going anywhere. That's staying. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I love the reach that event cigars create. So if I had to get rid of one, I would say the single store release. Sorry, Ronnie. Just saying.
Wow.
The single store release has to go.
Wow. All right. You ready for me? You know what I think about single store releases from a media standpoint, right? It ain't worth my time most of the time. Because one is a manufacturer is not going to spend a lot of marketing dollars to talk to the media about these unless they're a smaller company. And retailers aren't in the media business of promoting this stuff. So they're not going to do press releases, right? So I think there's a lot of stuff that gets lost in these single store releases, right? And what I liked, what was very interesting about what Robert Holt said, I wasn't excited when I heard Robert Holt was doing a lot of single store releases until I heard Robert Holt say how he was going to really craft those for the right retailers and like look for the right retail partners to do this with. And I'm like, that's exactly what, and if he, assuming he does that, that's something that impresses me. A lot of times I have a confusion on, is it really a retail cigar? Is it really a shop exclusive? Or is it really a private blend with a label on it? Right? So that's a like the Michaels, for example, the Michaels one you just talked about, the Lauer Preferidos, the size you got, the 60?
Yeah.
That was not a private label with a band put on it. That was a special size that was given to Michaels. Same with the PDR.
Yeah, the PDR, right. Connecticut Valley Reserve, Double
and
Perfecto.
And it's amazing. I get asked from retailers all the time, well, should I get my own blend or should I get a special size? I say, go for the size every time. You're getting a better cigar in most cases. Most of the time, that's private label stuff you're going to get. I'm not saying in all cases, but in a lot of cases it is. So, you know, I have my issues with single store releases. But there's some incredible ones too. I mean, go back to some of the smoke-in ones have been incredible. I'd go back to the Microblend series. Go to some of the Two Guys stuff that they've done. The Firecrackers, very good. So there are some good ones out there. Now, TAA exclusives. My problem with the TAA is there's too many damn companies making TAA cigars. There's no standards put for how good these cigars are. I question if some of this stuff is also private label stuff with a TAA band on it. That's how far I'll go with that. There have been some atrocious TAA cigars I've had over the years. I mean, I was not happy with the CAO cigar that Brasilia that was released
last
year.
The last two CAO TAAs haven't been good. What are you talking about?
I like the Estelí. You didn't like I haven't smoked the Expedition yet. Have you smoked the Expedition?
No, not – okay, sorry.
I like the Estelí.
The previous two before this year.
Okay. They have not been good. I could tell you –
The CAO Estelí that had no Estelí tobacco in it? Is that what you're talking about? That one?
Okay. All right. I like that one. I did like that one. I actually did like, but it wasn't like
the CAO Brasilia was leagues worse.
Yeah.
I did not like that cigar at all.
I like what Christian Aroa and Tom Lazuka have done with their TAA cigars and La Polina have done with their TAA cigars. Let's give an early release to the TAA the first year and we'll bring it in the second year. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think if you want it, that's what maybe I would recommend. So here's what I would do if I was the TA. I'd cut back on these releases. And if anyone, you look at maybe companies that want to do that, and then just freaking pick one release that's going to be your star for the year and award that TAA cigar, you know, and make it part of your convention. That's a great idea. And stop trying to just make a killing on all these average blends that you're getting with the TAA. So that's my and look, when I've said this a couple times, when Juan Cancel can sell out of a limited release faster than a TAA release of the same quantity, nothing against Juan Cancel, he's doing something right. I don't think the TAA has marketed these cigars. Michaels, I know, markets the TAA cigars very well. So I'm going to say that, you know, there are retailers that do a very good job at marketing their TAA cigars, and there's other ones that sit on the shelf. So that's my thoughts on the TAA cigars. Event-only cigars, in my opinion, have been in the same category a lot of times as the single-store releases. I have liked the approach that you've taken where you basically do what either Christoph's doing. You have the event. You get the cigar. You bring it in. Or you use the event to do a soft launch. Typically, the custom blend ones have underwhelmed me. I'm not saying all of them have, but typically the custom blend ones have underwhelmed me. So which one do I have go?
You want me to guess or are you going to tell me?
You guess.
TAA.
Event only. I think if you the TAA, as I said, where you give the TAA retailers the first crack at some of these and then maybe pick one to be your star release of the year, I think I can live with it. So I don't want to see the concept of a TAA cigar go away. I think it's important. You know, Pete Johnson was very important to saving the TAA, I think, several years ago with that, right? And I think the TAA still is a valuable organization to have in our industry. I think it's an important thing to have. So I don't want to see – and those cigars are very important to kind of make that happen. The same with the single store release stuff. But in the end, I think I can live without the event cigar and just do it maybe as – do something else at the event rather than just have this special cigar available at the event. So I picked the event only. But the TA needs to clean up for sure. Unless I'm making money with it, but I don't see it.
That's a question for Steve if he would ever consider joining TAA.
Well, do you know that the original Maestro de Saca had a TAA thing on it? It was actually stamped with a TAA thing, but I think he had to be in there for 5 years to get it. But the Exclusivo had the original coffin had TAA written on it when it was soft launched. And that would be something that I would consider worthy of a TAA cigar. Like, yeah, give an early release of that to the TAA. It wasn't released to the TAA. It just had the stamp on it.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, Steve's done – I think Steve has taken – what I like about what – you know, and this is a show about Dumbarton tonight. I think in all three of these cases, Steve has taken it very seriously. All three – yeah, maybe he's not TAA yet, but, you know, the single store releases, you could see he gets – there was just one that was released or pre-released to the U-Boat, I think, for some store called Rockies. I mean, you can see Steve was intimately involved with helping promote that cigar and everything. That's what I like. That's how I like to see a shop exclusive thing. You know, Polpetto was something he also was intricately involved with at some of his events. You know, there was a meatball contest and he had that.
Yeah, exactly. Frog juice. I mean, listen, I know like Ronnie's about ready to come over to my house and just beat me up.
But, oh, Don Dormer. Yeah. Don Dormer's a great example. Look, that's
That's exactly my point. What I said, like, that's what I said. The one positive about single store releases is that typically, and especially if they're executed well, like the Don Dormer was, is that it's unique. It's incredibly unique. You know, there's all, you know, like I said, the Wisconsin tobacco Comstock. I mean, that's freaking cool as hell. Like, who the hell uses Comstock? Nobody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a really great way for someone who really likes to play with tobacco and is a tobacco nerd like Steve to kind of experiment, develop something really special for, you know, one of his most popular and powerful supporters. I mean, Steve mentioned earlier in the chat that he likes, you know, he rewards people for their loyalty. And like I kind of responded back to Ronnie. I said, like, the cigar industry is not going to take a cue from me. Just because I don't like single store releases out of the three choices that I have here,
I don't like the majority of these single store releases. And, I put some very, very, very harsh rules in about how you're going to get covered with a single store release. You don't give me that. You don't give me the press release the same day you announce it. You are not getting coverage. I mean, it's very simple. And it's not because I'm trying to be vindictive. I don't see the return on investment because people aren't going to care once it's out there. There's not enough people who are going to read that on Coop because it's a limited audience. So Pete Johnson one's probably always going to get a lot of press. Steve one's always, but I can't make rules for certain people, not others. So I've had to put that, I've been very, very, I've had some very tough conversations with people this year about this. And it's out there. I mean, I think I put an article out there about this, right? But I was told I was being too mean and I'm upset about not getting it. No, it's because I have to look at it from a bit. There's not a lot of interest in this. And single store, and I'll say TAA cigars are some of the lowest rated reviews out there on Coop. There is not a lot of interest in TAA cigars for whatever reason. And the news, same thing. They are turned to the bottom. So Protocol's kicking every TAA cigars press release announcement this year, whatever there was of one. Protocol's kicking their ass on every one of them. I don't know if the interest is there anymore. I think there's other avenues people have found, and I think people have realized the TA cigars have been mediocre at best, you know, as a whole. Some are very good. I'm not going to give you that. But, yeah. All right. How about this? Unless you want – we have another one must go, so Oliver's going to get a double dip tonight. Why don't we start the T? We'll do a Sockology, and then we'll do the one must go.
Sounds good.
All right. We have another, but and I think it'll be good that we save the one must go for when we smoke, do the second soccer, the fourth soccerology.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're lighting up the tea, the Sober Mesa Brulee STFU tea. So if you're keeping score at home, this is soccer's taste for yourself. This is either taste or shut the fuck up. This is the
cigar. Yeah.
Yep. And so far, and we'll go through we'll recap our final assessments of these when we're done as well.
Yeah. The foot smells the same. There's no sweetness on the wrapper. There is sweetness on the cap with this one.
Oh, this one's the double. If this one has to be, this has got to be the double. There's a lot of sweetness on this cap.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is, there's no doubt this is the double. I'm getting that heavy sweetness on the dry drawer.
Oh, man. And it's butterscotch, man. That is rich.
That is rich. Look, this is not bad, actually. I'm going to light it up. This has got, I mean, there's no question this has to be the, I'm glad we went in this order because it really would have been tougher if we went the other order.
Oh, man. Yeah. There's so much sweetness on the cigar.
I have never had it. Now, this, I'm really curious for people who've smoked the tea, if they've had a sweet tipped Sober Mesa, how does this compare?
Well, I think, like I said, I don't know what the exclamation point is. I mean, it does not taste like Brulee had, but the F and the U do taste like Brulee.
See, and I'm kind of along the lines that the F and the U were the sweetened ones.
cap is sweet. The shoulder is sweet. There's sweetness all around. This has to be the double.
This has to be the double. I would agree. I don't think there's any question that this is the double. Nice drawers on these cigars too, by the way.
Oh yeah, they're impeccably constructed, man. Technically sound, beautiful draw, beautiful burn.
This, you know, the sweetened cap is giving this cigar a little more body, at least on the onset. But I'm sure that has to do with the, you know, what I'm dealing with right now towards the head of the cigar.
But look at that consistency. All the foots are identical. The aroma is identical.
Yeah.
The taste on the wrapper, identical.
Yep.
It's where the cap is where we're just, you know, we're disagreeing or agreeing.
Yeah.
The exclamation point has no sweetness. There's nothing to it. The F and the U have some sweetness too. I think they taste like more like brulee. This isn't cloying. It's not over the top, but it's over the top in comparison to the other three.
Yep. The one I'm most unsure of right now is the U. The U is the one that's throwing me for the loop right now. But yeah, this one, if you want that residual sweetness that's going to come through on this one, if you wanted to know what a Sober Mesa Brulee tastes like, full onset sweetened cap, this is it. And it's a very different cigar than that U. I mean, the exclamation point one than you, all those other ones. This is very sweet.
Oh, man.
Now, there's a butterscotchy richness you're getting. It's not bad. It's look, just because it's sweet doesn't make it a bad cigar by any means. I mean, can you imagine Steve could sell a premium sweet-tipped cigar?
Right.
You could do it with this cigar. I mean, I don't know what the audience would be like. I mean, that's the one question. Is there an audience that's going to spend over $10 for a sweet-tipped cigar? But it's very good. I mean, I'll tell you, it's really good.
Yeah, this would be great with coffee.
Yeah. Butterscotch pudding. It's like butterscotch pudding I'm getting off this thing. But maybe instead of sugar, a little bit of a artificial sweetener. But yeah, it's like a butterscotch pudding note I'm getting. I haven't had anything like this. This is a very I'm very positive on this, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, it's good.
And I normally don't like a lot of sweetness. We were talking about the before I got cut off, I think I was going to mention about how I don't normally like a balanced flavor. Well, we were talking about this earlier with the Mi Caritas. The balanced flavor, I don't like it to go too heavy on the sweetness. I don't like it to go too heavy on the spice. I like it when I could get a lot of those flavors right on the tongue. I'm also glad we did it in this order because smoking the S is going to be tough now.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get, there's a lot of residual sweetness we have now.
I botched the light on this, damn it. That's my bad.
What happened?
I botched the light on it.
It happens. I mean, we're doing this in real time here.
Yeah, this is not burning right, but it's not the cigar. I totally messed it up.
Why don't we go and do a little Sakaology?
Okay.
Okay. So the 2018 saw another regular production line come in. I mean, maybe a little more of a limited production because this is a more premium line. It's his most premium line. It's the more premium ongoing production, let's say. You know, obviously, Unicorn is the most premium. And that's the Sin Compromiso.
Okay.
That's Steve's blend. Then that features the Mexican San Andreas wrapper, or the Mexican wrapper, I should say.
It's the cigar that's named named after his mission statement, his mantra: cigars without compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Puro sin compromiso.
I love the packaging on it. And I'm going to say this. I like the cigar. You know, this is the one where I got the hate mail on because I gave it an 89. I like the cigar. I'd go buy it, right? It's not probably one I would buy first. And the problem is if I'm sitting there and there's a Sobra Mesa or a Mi Querida or a Todos Los Dias, I'm going to reach for those other ones beforehand. But nonetheless, this has become a popular cigar for Steve Saka. I could tell you in the Battle of the Bands contest, I heard people, I think only one person got a Sin Compromiso because none of the others could get it.
Yeah, it was Brian. Yeah.
Which I was surprised. I didn't expect that from Brian. I expected it from Dojo. I didn't expect it from Aaron. Maybe Emmett would have done it.
Yeah, Aaron was really high on that cigar.
Yeah.
Or at least Blind Man's Puff as a collective unit were.
Yeah, they are. They are. I know the Developing Palettes guys have been a little higher on some of the other blends than the Sin Compromiso. Same, I think they're in my camp as well. I'm not going to speak for them. But like I said, Steve really likes this blend. I think I mentioned this when I was doing the show, when we were doing the event with Abe, and I was doing hosting the show with Abe, that event, when I was doing my Jack Heyer. I liked the pre-release blend he did of Sin Compromiso better.
From the trade show?
No, he was going around doing events in 2018, and he gave out samples of the Sin Compromiso. And these had a much sharper box. The Sin Compromiso is a more softer press. These had a little bit of a sharper press to them. And I think the blend was ultimately different. And they reminded me, they were like almost Padron-like. They didn't taste like Padron, but I'm like, they were in that Padron-like wheelhouse. And I guess that's what I really liked those pre-releases. But like I said, again, it's Sin Compromiso is still a cigar I would buy. It's just probably not one I'm going to buy as much.
You're going to... You enjoyed the 60, right? That I bought you.
Yeah, I have. I didn't review that one because I only had one, and I usually don't like to review the exclusive size first. That was an exclusive, the Corona cigar. It probably would have came in maybe like a little higher, maybe closer to a 90. But you know, it is what it is. I didn't formally review that cigar.
So I. And this is going to make you proud too. The Vitolas in that particular cigar that I really gravitate towards.
The big one.
Are the bigger ones. Steve and I are like-minded on this. He really likes the number 5 and the number 7, and so do I. And I, when I smoked the number 6 during my interview with him, I really enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
But you know, to his point, you know, they don't smoke like bigger gauges because they have that soft press on them.
They do.
And so the 60 doesn't smoke like a 60, in my opinion. Doesn't it feel like
down,
a 60. Yeah,
it takes it down low.
Yeah. So the number 7 is the, like, he calls it the Gigante, but it's basically a double Corona, right? 7x56. With that soft press, it kind of takes it down to like a 54. And then the number 5 is the Toro. It's a 6x54, but again, it takes it a little bit smaller too. It's like, uh-huh. It's almost like you're smoking a 52 or a 50 even.
So this, and Steve can answer this and he wants in the chat, but if not, does Steve kind of do a little tweaking of this thing at some point? And maybe give us a different Sin Compromiso.
This cigar is so freaking sweet.
It's very sweet.
this is the double sweetened one, man.
Yeah, there's no question this is the double sweetened one.
I'm enjoying it though.
Yeah, I agree. I'm enjoying it. It's a rich. The sweetness is kind of giving you the residual sweetness is still there. The residual sweetness is definitely lingering.
Yeah, the sweetness on the F and the U died off.
Yeah, this one is there. While we're doing that, let's do another One Must Go. To get, you know, another One Must Go. Let me bring up the notes here. Just give me a second here as we're enjoying this. And I also want to mention United Cigar again. We'll give them two. We'll give them two bang for the buck tonight. So, you know, United Cigar is the sponsor of the One Must Go segment. We're adding a second one tonight. And United We Smoke, One Must Go, brought to you by United Cigars, featuring La Diana Havana and the distributors of Jose Dominguez, Bandolero, Garoppolo, and the highly acclaimed Atabey and Byron. Buy United, smoke United, live United. So, Bear, this is one, I guess you're going to pose this one to me now.
Right. Okay, so this is a little bit different than our normal take on One Must Go, because the concept of One Must Go is having three options. And
I don't know.
Three options and then kicking one to the curb. So I'm expanding the field for this experiment.
Okay.
So in the spirit of today's topic and conceptual show, we are talking Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust. So let's put Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust on the line here.
Okay.
We're going to say the lines, the brands. Okay. So which one must go? Sobra Mesa, Sin Compromiso, Mi Querida, Tricky Traca, Nuestra de Saca, or Todos los Dias? Am I missing any of the cores?
Well, Brulee.
Okay, so Brulee. Okay, so seven, right? And so we're saying seven cores.
Right. Are you saying that Tricky Traca different than Sobra Mesa?
It's different than Sobra Mesa. Sobra Mesa Brulee is different than Sobra Mesa. Right. Tricky Traca is different than Mi Querida Blue.
Okay.
So seven choices. So we're doing seven. The field is seven, and you have to kick one to the curb. One must go. I think I know your answer. So,
yeah, the two I'm going down to, Umbagog's in there, right?
Oh, an Umbagog. Oh, so eight. Sorry, yes, eight. I knew it was missing one.
Right. So let's kind of. I'll go through these real fast. So, Sobra Mesa, Mi Querida, and Todos los Dias are I consider his foundation in there, okay? And I'll put Sin Compromiso in there as well. Those are four foundational ones. Tricky Traca and
Brulee
are brand extensions, but I'll still put those in there.
Okay.
Umbagog and Maestro de Saca are the other two, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's eight.
Correct.
Okay. So the first three are staying. The Sobra Mesa, you can't get rid of Sobra Mesa.
Can't get rid of Sobra Mesa. Can't get rid of Mi Querida Blue. Can't get rid of Sin Compromiso. Okay. Those are your three that you're keeping, your apps.
No, you can't get rid of Todos los Dias.
Todos los Dias. Okay.
Even though we're saying maybe it's not as popular. You can't get rid of Umbagog because you need that. He needs a cigar at that price point. And it's a really good cigar for the price. So that's four. You can't get rid of Brulee. He needs a Connecticut. It's a good, very good Connecticut. That's five.
Okay.
All right. So we're down to Tricky Traca, Sin Compromiso, and
Muestra.
He needs Muestra. That's Saka. That's a whole. That's the next thing I want to talk about. Sakaology too.
Okay.
Expressions of Saka, kind of doing those one size, one blend. Mm-hmm. He needs that creativity. He needs that experimental. Maybe not every one of them is perfect, right? Maybe not everyone's my liking, but. There, you know, there's some good cigars he's done in there, and so Moister's saying we're down to Tricky Traca and Sin Compromiso.
Sin Compromiso.
Sin Compromiso's gone.
I knew it.
I tried to be look at this, and I'm like, Tricky Traca, I think is something. It's an important line extension he did, it's a better cigar. I mean, that's just what I have to come down to. So it's a better price point.
I knew you were gonna pick that one.
I tried to look at it objectively, right? I didn't know if you were gonna throw three random ones at me or the whole line.
We're expanding the field
now. We're not saying that Steve is getting rid of anything. Steve's on the cutting board. He has to kind of, maybe he's got some constraints, and but you know, hopefully that never happens and we hit this scenario. But again, let me be fair. Sin Compromiso is a better cigar than a lot of other cigars on the market. Okay. I could just go. It's better than a lot of TAA cigars too, by the way. so let's be fair. And that's not a knock on Sin Compromiso. It's just, like I said, Steve, the bar was set so high with Steve, with his releases that.
You could pick any of Steve's cigars, and on that cigar's worst day, on its worst day, the Rolero and the Bunchero were both sick and they just didn't know what they were doing. Maybe they were hammered from the night before on their worst day. On Steve's worst cigar that you could ever put in is 10,000 times better than the CAO Brazilian. TAA, man.
Oh my, and I love Rick Rogers. Rick, I'm sorry, that was the worst TAA cigar I ever had. It was just,
I did not like that cigar, man. It did not hit my palate.
I really like Rick, and I think Rick's done some very good things with CAO. But I'm sorry, that was, you know, there's a miss, and that was a miss. That was a miss by a long shot.
So that's an interesting thing. Before I give my answer, right? So that's an interesting thing. We talk about like cigar companies that like just go on this run, right? You know, we talked about how my father kind of had that run, and for me, it kind of hit a wall with the Judge, where I was kind of like, I got really Vitola specific with that blend.
Go ahead.
And then like La Palencia, I thought was good. And then like Grana Forza, like just completely missed for me. Like it was a complete miss. But I mean, like think about that in grand context, man. What a run that was for all those cigars that kind of went through, you know.
By the way, No, I agree. Have you smoked Fonseca yet?
No, I haven't.
My father's back.
Well, I didn't think they went anywhere, but yeah, I mean, awesome.
Yeah, this is a bit of a game changer for the company, I think.
That's awesome. I'm excited to try it.
I'm excited to try it. I want to see what Aficionado rates this, because that could have a lot of impact where my prediction goes this year with Aficionado. That's where I think but it's a good cigar. It's a really good cigar. I don't want to talk more about it because I want you to smoke it and taste for yourself. You need to smoke that cigar.
Wow, nice tie-in, Coop. Nice tie. So, like, that's my point, though. Like, with Steve's run, man, I mean, his entire run, you could argue is, like, one of the most successful, if not the most successful runs, especially if you're starting from a company perspective, right?
Yep.
From a company launch to where they are right now, like, you know, we've been critical of certain of these cigars here in the moment, you know, contextually speaking, but overall, like the run of cigars that he's just run off are just, they're all hits, man. He hasn't had a miss.
Look, like I said, not a lot of people could have been able to put this STFU packet together and gotten away with it. It would, you know, it's tough. I think some big companies would have a tough time doing something like this. Basically, you're asking your consumers to spend $60 for a single unit, something that you need to get as a unit. So I'm going to say this. The four cigars I've smoked are very good cigars. I mean, I wish I could get these again. I mean, I felt like I got my money's worth with these cigars. All right, Bear, who's going? What's going?
Well, everyone's heard about how much I love Sober Mesa, so that's not going anywhere, man. Sober Mesa's staying. That's unquestionable. Yeah. I've already said how much I love Mi Querida Blue. That's staying as well. Let's talk about a cigar line that we're gonna be talking about here a little bit more in a second when we go into the S. The Maestro de Saca has to stay.
He needs that one. Yeah,
he needs it. All of the elements of it, the unicorn, the Unstolen Valor, you know, the Exclusiva, which is my personal favorite. I know Skip really likes the Nakatamale. Him and I have always gone head to head on that. I love the Nakatamale too. The Now Leave Me the Hell Alone Lancero. They're all phenomenal, but he needs that. The Moisture. I love Todos Los Dias. I know it's his weakest line. I don't care.
We think it is. I mean, Matt, he would know the answer to that.
No, he said it. He's said it, that it's his weakest performance.
Okay.
But he said that it has bounced back since late 2019.
Smoke that cigar. Buy more of those cigars. I want to see them.
Yeah.
I want to see them on for a long time.
Yeah. So Sober Mesa, Mi Querida, Moisture Sacra, Todos Los Dias. So I got four more, right? So Brulé, I agree with you, Coop. He needs Connecticut. I think it's a great performing cigar. So I think the Brulé is a good cigar. He's got to keep that.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it. So that one's staying. I'm not kicking that one to the curb. I think the Sin Compromiso, I'm going to disagree with you, Coop. I think it has a perfect place in his portfolio, man. I think I love that Steve has that mantra, that mission statement, Puro Sin Compromiso, man. Cigars without compromise. I love it. I love his tenacity. I love the way that he's gone about his business, and I love that he named a cigar after his own mantra. I think that's awesome.
That's cool.
And it's a, I think it's a good cigar. It's not my favorite out of all of his, but I enjoy it.
I know which one's going.
I don't think it goes anywhere. So what does that leave me? Umbagog
and Tricky
and
Traca.
Tricky Traca. We haven't really talked about Umbagog yet.
No, we haven't.
Let me tell you about Umbagog. Umbagog is the cigar that I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would wager a significant amount of money that matters to me that is the fastest selling cigar in the Michael's humidor.
Oh, it's a monster brand for him.
It flies off the shelf, man.
And it's a good cigar.
It's a good cigar. Great value.
Yeah.
It performs like all of his other cigars. It's technically sound. It's gritty. It's toothy. It's got some incredible flavor to it. It's not an overpowering cigar. He doesn't have an overpowering cigar. So it's great. Umbagog is awesome. Tricky Chalk is going, man.
What?
Tricky Chalk is going. I told you it was going to be controversial tonight, man. Tricky Chalk is going.
So does that include the Firecracker going? Or are you saying that?
Well, I'm not. No, we're talking about the core lines. We're talking about core
lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. I think I saw they're going to start putting the red labels on the Firecrackers. I think I saw that somewhere. Someone put a picture up. I think it was Steve put the picture up of it. I'm assuming it's the Firecracker with a red band, because that's the band probably should be on it anyway. Wow.
Yeah, no, man.
You might get more hate mail on that
probably
one.
Probably will. I'm the disdain of the cigar. I'm certainly of the cigar media.
Yeah. By the way, send your email to losofumar@ just kidding. Or your private messages. Well, I mean, look, it was controversial. Sim Compromiso. I didn't expect the reaction I got when I did on that. There's a lot of 89s I've given out, and I've never had a reaction.
But think about that, Coop. You're booting a cigar that you rated an 89. What does that say about the rest of his stuff?
89 is a good score.
Exactly. That's my point.
If this was 4 years ago when Coop gave out a lot more 95s, I can understand it. But 92 is the highest scoring cigar this year. 93 was the highest last year. It's not that. It's right around the average point. And I still say, hey, go out and buy it. I didn't go with you. I said, still worth a buy. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I think it's, I would kick Tricky Traca. But you know, Steve's not going to listen to me, and no one else is going to listen to me, because everyone loves that cigar.
Yep.
So
I agree.
I just thought it would be fun, man. I thought it would be fun to think about it from, you know, an outside point of view, just like what, you know, because listen, you know, Steve's goal, like every manufacturer and every brand owner in this business, these are all his kids, man. He put his blood, sweat, and tears into this.
Yep.
And so it may sound disrespectful for us to even consider like, oh yeah, we'll kick this one to the curb. You know, and we're certainly not, at least I'm not going to lump you in, Coop. This was my idea. It was certainly not my intention to be insulting to his life's work at all. But I think it does paint an interesting point of view, because as companies expand and as companies grow, they have to make these crucial and critical decisions. I often lament, you know, my least favorite thing about working in retail, my least favorite time is the purge. You got to make space. You only have so much real estate. You can't keep every cigar in there, whether you like it or not. You got to get rid of underperforming cigars. You just do. It's the nature of the business. Ronnie can agree with me. Jay can agree with me. We got some great retailers in the chat tonight. They have to kick out some cigars that underperform, cigars that they may even love.
Look, I have a cigar of the year from a couple of years ago. I don't know if it's ever coming back. The Crux, the Connoisseur.
They said it is.
They said it is, but it hasn't come back yet. I mean, so, you know, it's one, you know, and I love that was a cigar of the year in my book. So it happens. I looked at this exercise that you gave, not so much, hey, we're trying. I looked at it, hey, if these cigars were laying on the table and I could keep all of them but one, which one would I not keep? That's kind of how I viewed the exercise. It wasn't meant to
I viewed the exercise from the standpoint of like, yeah, like when you get like the goal for like these companies as they're growing, you know, you can kind of throw some different brands into that, to that same heap, right, that have been around for the last few years and are just putting out monsters, you know, Foundation, yeah. Romacraft,
yeah,
not one cigar out of those three manufacturers, right, Romacraft, Foundation, and Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust, nothing's been discontinued.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, I'll correct myself. No, I did say it from the point of view of what he needs to keep in the brand, but regardless, it would have came out the same way. Because I was given a, he needs to have a Connecticut, he needs to have more sort of Saka. So, yeah, from that standpoint. All right. Why don't we, anything else we want to say on that?
No.
Okay. Why don't we hit the.
This is definitely double sweet, though. I'm just going to go ahead and say the tea is double sweetened.
Yeah, this is the double sweetened one. And then we'll kind of.
I'm still getting it, man. Yeah. I'm still going back to the tip and around it. It is so sweet. It's so rich.
Yeah. Let's get a couple more sponsors in as long as we're at this here. I want to mention Illusione Cigars, deep in flavor, deep in your mind. We are not industry standard, Illusione Cigars. And I also want to mention Tabacalera USA, who sponsors our contests, which we have more coming up. And Tabacalera USA is makers of iconic brands such as Monte Cristo, Romeo Julieta, H. Upman, and Aging Room Cigars. Tabacalera USA, great things are happening here. Michaels, you want me to do Michaels?
Or
you want to
just do over a decade of ownership, Michaels Tobacco has become the premier tobacconist for the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area and cigar patrons the world over, with two convenient locations in Euless. Just a quick jaunt from the DFW airport and Keller, Texas, Michaels Tobacco stands as a beacon for all Texas cigar retailers. Michaels was the very first cigar lounge in the state of Texas to add a full bar to its list of ever-growing accommodations. Proprietor Mike Peacock is a former PCA board member and has now made Michaels a family affair by having his son Bob join the ownership force. Under general manager and master storyteller Tracy Spence's leadership at Michaels, his self-proclaimed greatest accomplishment has been assembling, quote, the greatest team in the cigar retail business, unquote, as well as build some of the finest relationships with the industry's most respected individuals, like the subject of our discussion tonight. Under Mike, Bob, Tracy, and Jason's example, they've enlisted a staff of Kevin, Austin, myself, Joe, Silas, Brandon, and Kyle that now collectively boast over 100 years of combined industry experience. Together, they have brought together a true and blessed mainstay for their respective communities. Whether you're celebrating an anniversary, birthday, hole in one, or just a desire to relax, Michael's Tobacco will have the perfect cigar waiting for you with an exquisite beverage pairing and lively conversation. Visit michaelstobacco.com for more details and a calendar of upcoming events. Michael's Tobacco, not just a cigar shop, but the perfect blend of Texas hospitality and the days of yore.
Thank you, Bear. And we're going to get into our final piece of the Sakaology, or the STFU review. So if you're following at home, we've gone in inverse order of STFU, starting with the triple exclamation point, then the U, the F, and the T. And
T is definitely double sweetened.
T is definitely double sweetened. Now we're going to the S, which is S for Saka, the Sober Mesa Brulee STFU S. S
or
Saka.
Or shut.
Or shut. Or both. You know, so let's kind of get into this one here.
The foot, identical. The wrapper is not sweetened. Clear my palate here before I hit this cap up.
Yep. I already have an initial impression of this one.
This cap is also sweetened.
I'm saying it's, yeah.
This cap is also sweetened. It's more pronounced than the F and the U, man. You're with me, right? I'm not crazy.
The problem is I don't know if I'm getting residual off of it after just smoking the.
No, the cap is definitely. Put it on your tongue, man. That cap is definitely. The caps were not. Well, put it back in your mouth, man. Grab the cap out of the freaking ashtray. Stick it in your mouth. The F and the U did not have. They did not have any sweetness when you just tasted just the cap. It is not as sweet as the tea.
It's not as sweet.
That T is definitely the double sweet, man.
All right, I'm gonna say this is sweet too. So now I'm gonna have to go back and see if there's actually three sweetened ones in this thing. Well, this one's reminding me of the U. This one's reminding me of the U.
It's more sweet than the U so far, man.
Sockalicious. Okay. Good job. I think it's sweetened. I think you're right.
This one's sweetened. This is more sweet than this. This is more sweet than the F and the U. It's not as sweet as the T. This is more sweet than the F and the U. I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna go back to the U real quick.
It's definitely more sweet. I'm getting it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. How wrong are we going to be with most of these? The only ones I feel confident with right now are the T and the exclamation point.
Yeah, it's more sweet than the U. It's not residual affecting me. It's more sweet than the U. The S is more sweet than the U.
I know I shouldn't be going back to the U at this point.
I'm going to go back to the exclamation point here.
This is just riveting, guys. Is anyone actually smoking with us tonight, or are they just observing us?
What's everyone smoking tonight? Tell us.
Put it in the chat room.
Big Scott's in the house. You know he's still not smoking.
Yeah. Don't smoke, Scott. You need to be 100% screened.
Yeah.
I think he got one of the packs too.
He did, and he also I think he bought at least one of your packs too on the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, he was very kind to that. Yeah, he bought Aaron's as well. Big support, Big Scott. All right, it's definitely sweeter than the U. There's definitely no question that's sweeter than the U. But it's a little hard to tell with the residual, but I'm kind of getting what I got off the U beforehand.
This is sweeter than the U, man. I just smoked the U.
Are you inclined to say that there's three unsweetened cigars in this thing?
Yeah. I think the F and the U, I'm telling you, the F and the U smoke like the Brulee. I don't know what the exclamation point is. It's not the Brulee. Or if it is, it's just lacking any of that unique sweetness that the Brulee has.
This is so close, though. This one's right on the border with me.
It's in between the F and the U and the T, man. It's in the middle. It really is. I'm telling you.
Now I know why you picked this one for the S. You know, I'll say each of these cigars, like I said, could stand on their own. There's no... Like, I would like to get more of those teas, actually, just because it's so different from anything I've had that's sweet-tipped like that.
Got some Umbagog smokers in the house. A couple Brulee smokers, it looks like.
Where are the Sin Compromiso smokers?
Oh, that's just cruel, dude.
I'm just asking. I mean, if you're where are those Sin Compromisos tonight?
Sin Compromiso is a special occasion, man.
Oh, it's a regular cigar.
You think watching a couple guys taste some STFUs is a special occasion?
Two like guys who don't know what they're talking about. I don't know. All right.
Looks like Kevin's smoking some Mbombay. Thomas is smoking an Umbagog. Diesel Unlimited smoked. Scott, big Scott's got a cigar in his mouth. Don't light it up, dude.
Don't light it up. You know, when I honestly, when I was recovering from the blood infection, I was doing that for weeks. I was going into my cigar shop and just putting cigars in my mouth, not lighting them up.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing that. I was buying cigars and doing that. How about that? Even worse.
You know, Ronnie actually brings up a pretty good point about Sin Compromiso. You know, he said that since Sin Compromiso smokers are not on Facebook.
I think it's
a great point.
I think it's an accurate thing. I would agree with him on that.
Like I said before, when we were doing our exercise with One Must Go, he doesn't have, and this is Steve's own words too. He doesn't have a dud. He doesn't have Todos Los Dias is his most underperforming cigar. If that's his worst cigar, quote unquote, right?
Jeez. A lot of companies would take that off his hands tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great cigar.
Steve lit up a Lars Teton, man. Talk about some non-traditional cigars, man. Look at that.
Yeah, no, that's good. Let me see. I may have something to report here. Oh, got an update. We would like to thank the Los Angeles Clippers for their participation in the 2020 NBA playoffs. As Dojo's Denver Nuggets go to the conference finals.
Oh, wow.
Crushing them in a 104-89 game 7 upset.
Jesus. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, so we'd like to thank Doc Rivers and company for their participation this year. It will not be an all-LA final.
I like Doc.
I like Doc, too.
I think he gets too much grief, I think.
I'm hoping that tomorrow that Tyronn Lue, the assistant, is named the head coach of the Sixers. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, just one real quick thing before we kind of get into soccerology. What's the city of, so let me say this. I was in Dallas the night they won the Stanley Cup 21 years ago almost. And the city went crazy for that team. It was nuts. It was mayhem downtown that year. I'm in a hotel room downtown. I was staying downtown. It was a Friday night, and I'd stayed the weekend. There's hockey fans are down there. So what's the mood right now? Dallas going back to the finals this year?
Oh, people are ecstatic, man.
Yeah, I know Phil Schmitz, our Indy Cars correspondent, is thrilled. We were talking, and I said Dallas looked really good, and they were looking like St. Louis did in the playoffs last year. So good job by them. I wish them the best of luck. I think they'll play Tampa for sure.
Yeah, my Bruins didn't fare too well.
Wait, let's see if they actually – wait, let's go back. Yeah, Tampa's hanging – Island is hanging in there, though. Well, all right. Let's go back to some soccerology. We started talking about Moister to soccer. It's, you know, I looked at that as his answer to doing a Unico series with Liga Privada.
It's fair. Similar,
but I think there's a lot more.
But different though, like completely offshot.
But completely offshot, where those were based on like I think they were all offshoots of the Liga Privada core lines to some extent. These are just completely different expressions that he's doing. You know, I'm with you. I think the Exclusivo was the best of the series. That was the first one, the 6x52, minus the Unicorn, which is, I think, the best cigar he's ever done. The Unicorn's an amazing cigar.
I have not smoked it, unfortunately.
I have smoked two of them.
I am looking forward to the day that I will be able to smoke one. I know everyone raves about it. I'm really excited about the opportunity. Try not to overhype it in my mind, because that's just a dangerous game you don't want to play. But the Exclusivo – so here's the thing about the Exclusivo. So I smoked it when it first came out, and I really enjoyed it. Really did. And I wouldn't say that it was missing anything. Like, I really enjoyed the cigar. And then I didn't pick it back up until a year later, until I'd been on the market for a year. And it was at the trade show, the first trade show that I went to, and where we sat down on the last day of the trade show, and I interviewed Steve Sacca, right, at the Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust booth, like right. Our tradition's been. And I had smoked Sin Compromiso a couple of times that week already. And so his son puts out a few cigars in front of me to light up for the interview. And I grabbed the Exclusivo. And those cigars have been in the desert forever, like, you know, for a week and stuff. You always hear about that, right?
Right.
I lit that cigar up and I was like, holy cow. This does not taste like an Exclusivo. This is the Exclusivo that I had. This is way better. What's going on? And so I was talking to Steve, and it wasn't off the record necessarily, but it was off interview. And I was like, Steve, what's going on with the cigar? This is different. And he said that he had actually, that the Exclusivo that I was smoking had an extra year of age on it.
Interesting.
And it smoked phenomenal. And since then, my experience with Exclusivo has been by far one of the most consistent performers in the Dunbarton Tobacco Trust line. And I absolutely adore it. I think it's phenomenal. I really, really like it. And I like it better than all the other Maestro Sacca lines. Again, I can't compare it to the Unicorn personally because I haven't had it. I did smoke the Unstolen Valor for the first time a few weeks ago when I was interviewing Scott Pierce. And that cigar is sensational too. I'm a big fan of the Lancero. Loved it. I do love the Naka Tamale. But yeah, the Exclusivo is fucking dynamite.
Yeah. And I like the fact he's got this creative workbench that he could do these types of projects. I mean, I think there's a Candela one that's been talked about, maybe even released at one point. I kind of like what he did. I haven't smoked the Unstolen Valor. I have it. But I like that he kind of took a blend done by his, his partner and friend, Raul Diesla, and kind of went with something with that. And I like the fact that each of these are optimized to a single Vetola size. I know Naka Tamale was the one that everyone loved.
Yeah.
But I'm with you on the Exclusivo. I give that one the slight edge, minus the Unicorn. Minus the Unicorn, which is the Unicorn's on another playing field entirely. The Unicorn it's on another playing field. I don't think it's fair to compare the Unicorn to the it is really a good cigar. I mean, the only thing I hate about that cigar is the ribbon. Because a $100 cigar, I wouldn't put a ribbon. That's the only thing. But honestly, the cigar is what counts, right? The cigar is what counts, right? And that's what's important. It's the best, if he set out to use the best tobaccos and do the best thing to make a $100 cigar, it's hard to say any cigar is worth $100, but it made my decade list. It made my top 25 cigars of the decade. Came in at 18. Well, it was that good. I had to buy a second one to make the decade list. But so I think Maestro de Sacca, important line. I look forward to more Maestro de Saccas like every year. I think that's something exciting to look forward to. And the nice thing is these have been brought back in batches from time to time as well. And I think that's great for people to enjoy them. What did you think of the Lancero? Was it better than the Naka Tamale?
Yes.
I say no. But it wasn't far behind it.
I think they're all in a very superior class. Again, I stand by my previous statement. I still think the Sober Mesa is my favorite cigar that he's ever made that I've smoked. Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, haven't had the Unicorn. And haven't had the Grand Buffalo of the Mi Carita. So we're splitting hairs here. But I haven't had Frog Juice.
No, I haven't chased down these like single ones either.
Yeah, and I haven't had a Dunderma.
I have had Dunderma.
I'm like the tobacco nerd in me is, like I said, it's just very intrigued with that cigar with Wisconsin Comstock. Yeah. I'm like, I was so excited when I saw that come. I was like, man, I bet that's a really, really cool
experience. It's different. I'm not sure where I place it. but it's different.
You've had it?
Yes.
Okay.
And Aaron Nielsen from, and I got one from Ronnie also, via Aaron. So that's the second one I'm going to smoke. But Aaron Nielsen sent me one. Aaron Nielsen, who's the son of the legendary Cheap Trick player, guitar player Rick Nielsen. Aaron Nielsen is one of the, this guy gets everything. He buys that. This guy is hardcore to the T. Okay, as far as a cigar guy goes, I talk with the guy. We message every day what we're smoking. He's become a really good friend of the show, just a good friend in general. So he's got an incredible palate, this guy, too. So, yeah, he sent me the first Don Doomer, and then I think Aaron got a couple from Ronnie, and Aaron sent me one. So, which I think he had an extra because he had to give to the dev palate. So I think you, unfortunately, you have to hit Dojo for that one. But
right,
or yell at Aaron, but I think that's an interesting one. You know, the limiteds have been kind of interesting. They've generated, you know, and obviously the tricky track, the limiteds are, you know, these single store releases are another avenue that Sockers has as well to do some other releases. Like I said, I think he does a very good job at them, which I like, you know, so I think that's a good thing. Yeah. You know, we didn't mention, We mentioned Tricky Traca. We really didn't mention the line we're smoking tonight, which is Sober Mesa Brulee.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the Sober Mesa Brulee line? You know, I think here's what I'll say about this one. He did this. He kind of did a little Sockerology with going with the Sober Mesa Blue this year in that Lonsdale format. I haven't smoked the Blue yet. Have you?
Yeah, stand corrected for my previous statement. Yes, so I haven't had Frog Juice, haven't had Don Derma, haven't had the Grand Buffalo, haven't had the Unicorn. I have not smoked the Brulee yet. No, that's correct.
I have not smoked a lot of Sober Mesa Brulees, but I've smoked some. Like I said, I think when I first smoked it, I didn't get that impression that it was a mild cigar. But
yeah,
as time went on, it's mild. Like, these have all been mild. My palate's pretty fine tonight. Well, that's the other one. Did we leave out another line of his? Umbagog.
Yeah, Umbagog.
So Umbagog, you know, that's using the same wrapper as the Mi Carita, but Steve corrected me once. It's not a second of the Mi Carita. There's another blend under that thing.
Yeah, no, it's a completely different blend. It's just the same wrapper. And it's a grade below the Mi Carita. If you look at it, again, it's not as pretty. That's what I was saying earlier about if you compare Mi Carita, if you're looking at it from a contextual point of view, they're saying that the Mi Carita is the offshoot or the competitor or the linear release to the Liga. The Mi Carita is a prettier cigar.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about labels. I'm talking about the wrapper. And it's incredibly clean, very oily, not very toothy, almost no veins to it. It's just gorgeous. Umbagog is like a step in terms of aesthetic, right? Is a step below the Liga too. Like, it's very toothy, it's very gritty, it's very rustic. The blend is on par with exactly what you look at. You look at Umbagog and you smoke and you're like, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It clicks. It works. It's good. It's great price point. It's a great performing cigar. It's, you know, it is, you know, a premium cigar in a very, very, you know, approachable price. And it's great for nearly every palate. You know, the guy who's going to only buy Brulees, you know, he's not going to light up an Umbagog and enjoy it. But it's a good cigar.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's a good cigar. I actually think the wrapper is not that ugly either. Like, I know it's not an ugly wrapper. It's just, like you mentioned, I think the Mi Carita wrapper is so.
Yeah, so, comparatively speaking, it's right. It's not an unattractive cigar, right? Alan compared the Umbagog to Nika Rustica a minute ago. And I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that comparison. But what I would say about Umbagog over Nika Rustica is that I think, and I enjoy the Nika Rustica. I think from a wrapper point of view, because I try to taste all components of the cigars, I think the Umbagogs, just the wrapper, I think is a better tasting tobacco leaf than the wrapper on the Nika Rustica. But I like them both, and they're pretty much, again, same type of line, right? An approachable price, good cigar, rustic. You know, it's not going to kill. Neither one's going to kill your palate.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you on that. Like I said, I'd like to see maybe another Umbagog like extension, brand extension, maybe with one of the other lines at some point. One of those other wrappers, if possible. You know, maybe you do an Umbagog, an amped up Umbagog. You know, take that wrapper and do like an amped up version of that one, or maybe take like the Todos Los Dias wrapper and amp it up as well. You know, amp it up to put it on, you know, some of the less pristine ones, put it on there. I wouldn't do it with Sober Mesa, so there's something about, I think that tobacco I wouldn't mess with.
I think he's going to do another Mi Querido offshoot, man.
What makes you think that?
Well, he kind of talked about it on my show. He was tasting some sample blends.
Was that something he was talking about, a green or something like that?
A green, a Mi Querido green, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I remember. That's right, now I'm remembering it, yeah.
I mean, I couldn't see what he was really smoking. I couldn't tell you what kind of wrapper it was, if it was a different wrapper, if it was the same wrapper, and, you know, different binder and filler or something like that. So, I mean, yep. We'll have to see on that. Don't want to tease it too much because don't know anything about it. But, yeah, but he was smoking some test blends on it.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool. All right. So here's what I like to do. I have an audible question before the end, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
A short audible topic, and then we could wrap up where we rank these.
Okay.
Was there anything else we want to cover on Sockaology?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. So today there was a story that came out from our friends at Tobacco Business. Did you see this story?
No.
Okay. It's one. So this was kind of a, I didn't print this story. It's dealing with a smoking ban, but it's a private smoking ban. Typically on Coop, I don't cover the private company smoking brands. It's when the government mandates it, that's when I'll cover it more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll kind of get into that a little more, but they put a story up, and I think it was a very important story from what tobacco business does. And it deals with Las Vegas.
Oh, the MGM story?
The Park MGM.
Yeah, first. I did see that.
Alan Rubin saying there was one casino beforehand. The Aladdin was like that. I'll say even if it was, that was a long time ago. But yeah, they went smoke free. And this was something I think I've been talking about for 3 years. I kind of put up my article I wrote for Smooth Drawers, and how I talked about this on that when I was doing the Smooth Drawers radio show, that I predicted this was going to happen. Then when the whole gaming commission hearings happened about reopening Vegas, the anti-smoking people descended on it. They descended on that meeting. But one of the casinos, the Park MGM, which was one of the last to open, and when it's actually one of the last to open, and when it reopens on September 30th, the 3,000-room property will be the first casinos on the famous Las Vegas Strip to be entirely smoke-free. So we're not just talking room smoke-free, casino smoke-free. What do you think of this, Bear? What do you think is going on here? And then I have some thoughts. I'll weigh in on this too.
It's a travesty, is what it is.
Well, is it wrong? Did they have the right to do that?
Do they have the right to do it?
Yeah.
Private business, they can do whatever they want.
Private business, they can do what you want. You know, and you're, the answer is you don't go there if you're not happy.
Yeah.
And then, no. You know.
No, a private business, they can do what they want, man. That's it. Whether or not I agree or disagree with it isn't relevant. I'll tell you, man, it's a travesty though, man. When New Orleans went smoke free, I knew it. It was just a matter of time before Las Vegas went too. Here's what I don't like about it, for beyond obvious reasons, right?
Right.
One of the things that I loved about Las Vegas, the very first time that I went in 2009,
mm-hmm.
2009, is I, for the first time in my adulthood, I had the ability to, and I had the freedom to enjoy my cigar whenever and wherever I wanted. It was awesome.
Yep.
I got off the plane. I was working for a company, and my boss sprinted for this trip to send us all out there to have a good time for a weekend. And from the moment I got off the plane, we got into a limo, and that limo, I was able to smoke, and I lit up a cigar in that limo, and I smoked for the entire trip on the casino floor, on the sidewalks, everywhere. The only place that I was ever given any crap, apparently, no one forced me to do it. I went through the Caesars Mall, and I was walking through the Caesars Mall, and I was smoking a cigar, and a security guard came up to me and said, "Hey, you can't smoke in here." And I said, "I can do whatever the fuck I want. It's Vegas." And I kept smoking. He didn't stop me. He didn't do anything about it. But I smoked a cigar the entire time, and it was fucking magical. It was so awesome. It was so liberating, and it was fun, and I could be myself, and I could enjoy what I enjoyed most, and that was enjoying good cigars. And there was no judgment. There was no one, like, you know, fanning my smoke away. There was no one walking other directions. No one cared. It was awesome. Fast forward to 2019, 10 years later, I'm walking outside the trade show floor, met with signs that say, if I'm caught smoking in any of these areas, I'm going to get fined thousands of dollars.
I'm walking with a cigar under my cuff that was out to just get it to the area where I could smoke. I'm literally, because I was not even allowed to hold the unlit cigar. Like, that was part, I had this thing under my cuff because, you know, I didn't want to put it out. And we were finally kicked off the trade show floor at that point. So here's what I'll say. You're 100% right. I've been going to Vegas, I think, with the exception of 1 year, I've gone every year to Vegas every year since 2002. 2002, with exception of 1 year, and I think it was 2008, the year I moved to Charlotte, I didn't go. No, yeah, 2008 was the 1 year I didn't go. Every year it's gotten more and more restrictive. Like you said, I used to be able to go smoke everywhere. Then it got more difficult. Now, I always get a smoking room. I did get a smoking room at TPA this year, which was great, right? I had to ask for it, right? But I was going out for my other company's big trade show. I went out there in 2015, and we were with the MGM Property Hotels, and there was a list of hotels we could pick. And MGM had already started going non-smoking rooms with several properties. So in 2015, I stayed at the Bellagio and had a smoking room. I was there by myself. I didn't have to, you know, when I was done with customers, I really didn't want to go out at night in Campbell. I was just happy to be in the casino, right? And, you know, I went to Davidoff for a while maybe. But, you know, I liked having that, or having it in the morning, being able to do that. So in 2016, I tried to get into the Mirage, which was the other property that had smoking rooms. And I book a non-smoking room. I mean, I book a smoking room. I get there and I'm told, no, that we have now changed all the properties to have non-smoking rooms. Right. So I said, I booked this hotel a mile away from where I had to be down at the Mandalay Bay, because I wanted a smoking room. I was able to book a smoking room. Now you're telling me the room's not smoking. I'll be very honest. They were very good at how they treated me back. There was even talk that I could smoke and they'd waive the fine. But I opted not to do that because I didn't think it was fair to people who were on a non-smoking floor. You know what I mean? So I didn't do it. So the change of the tide has happened here. Now, Antoine Reed, who wrote the article, I think it was Antoine who wrote the article for Tobacco Business. I want to read this one thing to you, right? So previously, anti-tobacco advocates called for a smoking ban across Vegas to be implemented as part of the city's COVID-19 reopening plans, which we just talked about. According to reporting and polling done by the Las Vegas Advisor, there were more than 150 casinos in Vegas that used to allow smoking before COVID-19 that had reopened and introduced some form of a smoking ban. Then it goes on to say, The Vegas Advisor conducted a poll between August 5th and 18th and had 1,523 responders. The poll was published on April 20th and asked the question, should smoking be prohibited in casinos around the country where it's still permitted? And at the end of the poll, 72 respondents voted for smoke-free vendors. From smoke-free venues, one-fourth of the total respondents smoked sporting in casinos. That survey, I think, is very misleading, okay? Because I think it was a local Las Vegas survey. So I want to keep that in mind. But nonetheless, the anti-tobacco people were all over this, and I thought that this was going to happen. I also feel that this is a test balloon that the MGM is putting out there, and you will start to see more properties under the MGM do that. And if MGM is successful with it, you'll see Caesars and Harrah's and all the other dominoes start to fall.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, the problem is this, Bear. When you don't have an area of the casino, it's challenging to find an area of the casino to smoke, okay? Because you can't just go plop yourself in front of a slot machine without playing the slot machine. So you got to hope that some of these lounges will allow the smoking. The sports books, most of the sports book areas have already banned smoking. Mm-hmm. And when you're in these smoking areas, you're around cigarette smokers. There's very few cigar smokers. Yes, you can go down to Davidoff, Monte Cristo, Fuente, but they're not open 24/7. So it's getting very difficult to smoke in Vegas is what my point is. I don't think this was something that MGM did that, oh, we wanted to do this because we wanted to have an option for the non-smoking people. That's complete bullshit, right? You want to make money. And they're doing this right now because they can do it. I don't know if you know Kevin. You know Kevin Acuff, right?
Yeah.
He's one of the guys on the ground in Vegas. He's been giving me a lot of great information. You know, he's telling me that Park MGM, and he's right, it's very close to the arena where you have a lot of people coming in and out of the arena. And that may be why that one was picked first, to keep that in mind, because you may have more family people running in and out.
I just think that, you know, it kind of goes back to the age old argument of just like, why do we continuously, like, why is this continually prejudiced against us? I understand that not everyone likes smoke. I get that. Okay. My wife grew up in a house with cigarette smokers in the house.
Okay? I did too.
Okay. She doesn't like it. So what do? I smoke in the studio or I smoke outside. I don't smoke in my house. It's called compromise, right? But yeah. If you continually shuffle people out, that's where I have a problem. And that's exactly what this is becoming. This is going to be the domino that trickles and falls. And I said, you know, the one positive that you can take out of this coup is this might be the push that the PCA needs and TPE needs to get out of Vegas. Have their show somewhere else.
Well, yeah, but and if especially if it gets worse, I don't think it's at a point, you know. Yeah, we just got to look, got to make sure the grass, the grass may not be greener in these other areas either. We tried a little bit at with New Orleans, and then we got really screwed when they put a smoking ban in place.
Right.
So,
I mean, you look at, okay, you've been to the Venetian last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't smoke anything. Like, there were very limited areas we could smoke.
Yeah, outside or the trade show floor.
Or yeah, and then that one, you weren't around the old Circle Bar. Some of the lounges, remember we were smoking in that one lounge.
Yeah.
We met the guys for dinner that night. But when we had dinner with Carney, we had to go afterwards out into, we were at
Casino floor, yeah.
Yeah.
Hard Rock.
Yeah, we were at Hard Rock. Mm-hmm. So it's getting tougher. I'm going back 18 years. It is not what it was. You're saying 11 years. It's not even what it was.
Yeah, the amount of the change that I've seen in Vegas over the course of 10 years has just been absolutely dramatic. It went from one extreme to the other, and that's my point. Is that if you keep that's where I have the problem. If you continually shuffling out and pushing me away, that's inflicting on my right to enjoy a product that's legal. That's always been my argument. About smoking bans is you can't prohibit a legal product.
Yeah.
Sorry, you just can't. Look, for all the hustling and bustling and for all the laws that have come down even recently with T21, it is still legal to consume tobacco after the age of 21 in this country. You are, if that is legal, it's legal.
You mean off the age 18? You just can't buy it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well, whatever.
Yeah. Well, and technically you can't give it to someone in most cases.
Yeah, splitting hairs, but like.
Yeah, yeah.
It's legal though, Coop. It's legal for me to smoke this cigar. But you're telling me that I can't, you're going to say, no, you're not only are you going to tell me that I can't smoke in certain places, now you're not going to be able to smoke anywhere. Sooner or later, it's going to be outside. You can't smoke on the sidewalks, but you're going to freaking see people getting drunk off their ass off those freaking 10-foot margarita things that they carry around with shoulder straps. And that's okay. That's acceptable.
Yep.
Not to mention the whole marijuana component, because marijuana is becoming CBD and cannabis has become like total mainstream. And okay. Yep. So that's inflicting on my enjoyment. I don't like the smell of marijuana. That's me personally. I don't.
No, I agree.
I also don't like the sight of people completely falling all over themselves, completely drunk. That's dangerous for their health as well. So if we're talking about, again, if we're going back to the age old argument about health and stuff, public health, that's not healthy.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's okay. Borderline alcohol poisoning is okay, but me enjoying a perfectly legal product that's not affecting my orientation or affecting my behavior is shunned.
You know, you're right. The thing is, this is, you know, let me go back. Remember in 2011 when Starbucks banned smoking?
Yeah, within 25 feet of their door, yeah.
I think everyone just laid down on that one, right? Cigarette smokers, cigar people. I mean, cigar people, I still see cigar people posting pictures at Starbucks, right? Here's the thing. The only way, right, that you have any shot at this is to not go to these venues. That's the only way. Like, and people never stopped going to Starbucks. There was a line around the corner at TPE for people getting Starbucks coffee at TPE this year. I was like horrified when I saw it.
Same at PCA.
Yeah, PCA, the one, yeah, the kiosk, yeah.
Yeah, I bought it from there. I need caffeine, man. What are you talking about?
Well, who gave me? I got someone to give me caffeine that day. Who was it?
Someone. Heather in the Royal Agio booth. She hooked.
Thank you, Heather. Heather bailed everyone out.
God, man, save me from a headache.
So. And let me tell you something. It hasn't, like, I know that the casino in New Orleans, the Harrah's, has really struggled. They haven't gone out of business, though. But they've struggled because but Harrah's was a different story. They had their hand forced by the city of New Orleans. The city didn't force it. I don't think you'll ever see the government force it here. I don't think you'll see, because I think it would be a disaster in Vegas to do that. But it was a very interesting, and the other thing is they'll say in the article, they did a good job tobacco business on this article. I really do. They wrote that there are a couple of casinos nearby the area and in New York that allow smoking. I can tell you New York is very restrictive where they allow smoking, because I've been to New York in the last few years. I stayed there, I think it was 2017. I stayed at New York. And there were a couple areas I could stay in, but there were mostly cigarette smokers in there. So, yeah, it was not ideal. Is it a matter of time? I mean, before they go after they tried to go after Casa Fuente, I think, already a couple of times. And the Monte Cristo, you know, the only way is with your wallet here. And it's not going to be an instantaneous thing, but it's got to be a sustained type of thing, which I think in this country it's also unrealistic. Boycotts just don't work well in this country. I mean, we see it. You're seeing it. You look at sports, okay?
No, so, boycotts haven't been a successful practice.
Like, I'm not watching
since the civil rights movement.
I'm not watching the NFL, but I still got a fantasy team. Okay, I'm just saying. Yeah. Right. So they don't unless you're really, really committed to it. Well, I thought that was an interesting story. And I think it's something to really watch. I hated that what I predicted came true. And I think it's the first of more to come. Yeah. I think by next year, five major casinos.
Yeah, I think that's a good over under for sure.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting, Alan mentions money being a playing a part into this
team. Alan disagrees with us on this. I know that, but
yeah. He's got a point though. Like, I mean, money does talk. I'll give you a great example of where I saw money not giving, money playing into a fact and money, title and prestige playing into the fact of smoking bans. Right. So I attended TCU. Okay. In the early 2000s, I graduated in 2006. And the campus, for the most part, was non-smoking. There was one smoking section in the entire campus. Okay. What I attended, I think it's been gotten rid of since, but smoking was not allowed anywhere else on campus except for this one section. Okay. Some people would violate it. They would stand outside of their dorms and smoke and things like that, but no one really said anything. But for the most part, there was one smoking section, right? You absolutely positively could not smoke indoors anywhere. Okay. But who actually had a cigar and it was lit and he was smoking it? It was Kinky Friedman.
Oh, Kinky Friedman.
Kinky Friedman came and spoke at our college when he was running for governor back in the early 2000s. And he gave a speech at TCU and he was at the Ed Landreth Hall and he was actually inside giving a speech and he was smoking the whole time. And no one said anything. Money, power, and prestige, right?
Oh, I know.
I actually did smoke indoors one time at TCU, my time at TCU. So I think enough time has been removed that I won't get fined for it. So I was a member of a Christian fraternity, as many of our audience knows and stuff. So my last meeting, my senior year, the last meeting that I would ever attend as a member of my fraternity, as an active member of my fraternity, I lit up a cigar in a class. We met in a classroom, in a lecture hall, and I lit up a cigar. Because I didn't care.
There you go. Rebel. All right. Anything else we want to hit on that?
Nope.
All right. Let's go to our final results here. All right. So I have I feel bad. I wasted half these cigars because they were really good. But you want to give your scorecard of what you have for the. And these are not, we don't know if these are right or wrong. We'll know October 1st.
Yeah.
By the way, okay. Steve will be ruling on October 1st.
All right. So I'm going to go in the reverse order that we went in because we went in reverse order.
Right.
I'm saying the S is sweetened, it is a single sweetened cap. I am saying that the T is double sweetened. That is the double sweetened cap. I'm saying that the F and the U. I'm not saying they're sweetened. There is some sweetness there. Those smoke like the brulees. I don't know what the fuck the exclamation points are. That cigar is different than everything. The blend is the same. But there is absolutely no trace of any kind of sweetness at all. I know that's not really permitted within the rules at which he stated in his, his declaration here. But that is my verdict. The S is a single sweetened cap. The T is double sweetened. The F and the U have some sweetness on the shoulder, but it's not as pronounced. The S is sweeter than the F and the U. And the exclamation point cigar has absolutely nothing. No sweetness added whatsoever. There is no trace of sweetness.
Okay. I think we're close. Okay. I think we're close. So here's where I'm going to start. But I'm going to be more definitive in this case. The S is the single sweet. The T is the double sweet. The F, I'm going to still say, was sweet, but not as sweetened as the S.
Exactly what I said. Okay.
The U was unsweetened, and the triple exclamation point was unsweetened. I changed the U one. I think he put two. I don't think he put three. I don't think he put three sweet ones in there. That's why I kind of went with that. And the so I think the F and the U is the ones we're different on. So it's a challenging exercise. I don't know if we'd done this over five shows, how it would have went. Either because the S was tricky. I didn't know if I was getting residual sweetness from the T because we did that one last, but I got it. I was definitely getting the sweetness.
I went back to the F and the U, man, and the exclamation point. The S is sweeter than the F and the U. The F and the U are sweeter than the exclamation point.
Yep. Yeah, so I think we were close. I think it's just how we interpreted it. It almost seemed like you know, like I said, the F and the U were different than that S. That was where I was going.
Right. We 100% agree on that.
Yeah. If the T is not the double sweet one, I'm like, excellent is.
Yeah, we're going to look silly, man.
Now I can look at some of these answers that people put on Facebook. And we'll see. I don't have an answer on that one, but we'll see.
We had a couple people that posted stuff in there. I ignored them because I didn't want to see it. But apparently some people in the chat actually put some of their answers.
Guys, you shouldn't do that. People are trying to follow the show, but we do appreciate the
participation.
Yeah, so we do appreciate it, but yeah. That is our ST Soccerology and STFU show. And thanks to Steve for bringing over everybody tonight.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay, so let's kind of, well, before we wrap this up, Bear, what do you got going on Sunday?
Sunday, I've got Take 137. I'm going to have a fun time as I sit down with Dan Thompson and Andy Yaffe of McAuliffe Cigars. Really excited to have those gentlemen back on. It'll be a kind of reverse. I was a guest on their show Off the Record, where both of them interviewed me. So it'll be a little reverse action. I'll be interviewing them and talking to them about all things McAuliffe, and really excited to talk with Dan and Andy, two great guys, really doing exceptional work for McAuliffe. That brand has enjoyed a surge since COVID started. They've really done a wonderful job marketing their cigars, marketing their team, marketing their philosophy. I think they're doing a stellar job. I'm really excited to have them on. And then on Take 138, the following week, I'll be sitting down with Laurel Tilley of Macanudo. So really excited about that.
Awesome. Awesome. Thursday on Primetime, episode 156, we have Santana Diaz from Pure Aroma Cigars, makers of De Crassier and the Lords of England. I've interviewed Santana before. We his first time on the Primetime show. We're on at 10 o'clock, so when you got about nine other shows you can watch beforehand. But the good news, I don't think anyone's on at 10, so you can kind of wrap up your evening with Santana. But you know, there's like I saw nine different, including Abe doing the Espinosa event on Thursday. So so like I said, there's like nine other shows and they're all good, so you can pick one, but we're on at 10 and you can kind of catch in on that. So catch that. And I'm not ready to announce the 157 show yet, but I want it, but we will. It's a good show and I pretty much confirmed, but I'm just not ready to announce it yet. As far as special edition, Bear and I, you guys, we got to get with the schedule and the topics going on. We'll have an announcement for a Tuesday show soon as well on that. Jukebox, we have a show scheduled for the 28th, and the topic is in flux right now, depending on a guest. It's going to be one of two topics, but we have a Jukebox show on September 28th, episode 19 of Jukebox. Bear, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Coop. Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And that's going to wrap up Primetime Special Edition 84 into the annals of history for this Tuesday, September 15th. Now, Wednesday, September 16th on the East Coast. We'll see everybody Thursday and Sunday night. Have a great night, everybody.
We'll see you next time.